Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Schedule a session to learn more. Sign up for my newsletter to receive free information every month. Educate yourself through my books and articles. Visit intuitiveteachings.com or call me, Jennifer Cruz, at 831-233-8388.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The National Association of Realtors is expecting positive outcomes from President Obama's Save the Mortgages plan. $75 billion from the bank bailout money to renegotiate mortgages for people on the bubble.
It is not only helping those at-risk homeowners, but it's helping the broader segment of homeowners across the country.
That's economist Lawrence Yun at the Association of Realtors. And more from CBS's Peter Mayer, who's traveling with the president.
The $75 billion plan is aimed at stemming the foreclosure problem. President Obama hopes it will keep up to 9 million people from losing their homes. But his message was also aimed at people who are not caught in the mortgage squeeze.
In the end, all of us are paying a price for this home mortgage crisis. And all of us will pay an even steeper price if we allow this crisis to continue to deepen.
The plan includes provisions aimed at easing refinancing for people who owe more on their mortgages than their homes are worth. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Mesa, Arizona.
Federal Reserve downgraded its economic forecast for the year. The new projections say unemployment may hit 8.8% and the economy will shrink. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 3 points on the day. The Nasdaq was down a little less than 3. New study says stents in the arteries of the heart don't help unless you do it right away after the first symptoms of a heart attack.
We used to think, that if you had a closed artery, we should open it up. After all, doesn't that make sense that an open artery would be better than a closed artery? But it turns out that it's just not true, unless you're having an acute heart attack or a near heart attack. And then opening up the closed artery can save your life.
CBS's Dr. John LaPook. Over 2 years, another study found drugs worked as well and cost less than stents. National Academy of Sciences is calling for consistent national standards for crime labs and training and certification and expertise.
It's unquestionably an unprecedented report, which I think constitutes a kind of seismic shift in the practice of forensic science in America.
Peter Neufeld is co-founder of the Innocence Project, which tries to find and free wrongly convicted prisoners. America's first black attorney general, Eric Holder, challenged America Today to put aside our cowardice and embrace the discussion about race and what divides us. Jeffrey Ogbar, director of the Institute for African American Studies at the University of Connecticut, says bravo.
Ultimately, I find this speech hopeful and inspirational. I mean, I really think it's a speech that implores Americans to be brave about our conversations and also respectful.
This coming Monday night, about 10:45 Eastern time, look towards Saturn if you can. The greenish comet flying backward, that would be Lulin, discovered by a teenager in China 2 years ago. It's a really ancient comet just passing through our solar system. This is your only chance ever to see it. This is CBS News.
So my little brother, who runs his own business, tells me, the holy grail in business is your customer's email. So I'm like, okay, but how can you, Mr. No Creative Bone in Your Body, do something snazzy like email marketing? And he goes, ConstantContact.com. You know, if I had known he'd be this successful, I totally would have given him the top bunk.
ConstantContact.com. Email marketing with tons of easy-to-use, professional-looking templates so you can be as creative as you want. Get a free 60-day trial and free live phone support at ConstantContact.com.
Staples is happy to announce that you can now recycle any ink or toner cartridge and receive $3 back in Staples rewards. That's right, any ink or toner.
How about Canon?
Yes.
What about HP?
I did say any.
Epson?
Yes.
Brother?
Yes. Any.
Lexmark?
Yes.
What about Dell?
Oh.
Now save the easy way. Recycle any brand of ink or toner cartridge at Staples and get $3 back in Staples rewards. That was easy.
Recycling limit of 10 per calendar month per customer. Limit 1 Staples rewards account per address. Visit staplesrewards.com for full details.
A Texas billionaire accused of fraud totaling $8 billion is on the lam with a lot of places to hide.
Federal authorities filed civil charges, not criminal, against billionaire Alan Stanford, who's from Texas, said to have homes on several Caribbean islands. A lawyer in Atlanta representing investors who fear they've lost their money, James Dunlap, says Stanford seems to be hiding.
We've got some ideas, but that's something that I would not like to discuss right now.
On the island of Antigua, where Stanford owns a bank and a newspaper, the prime minister asked people not to pull out their money, warning of catastrophe for the island's economy. Dan Revive, CBS News.
Tell you the moral of this story up front. Take pictures of your precious jewels. In Saginaw, Michigan, a woman who claimed a jeweler substituted something less valuable than the pink diamond she'd had in her wedding ring couldn't prove it. The judge decided the ring couldn't have held a rock as large as she claimed, so she has to settle for the resized ring the way it is. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
All right, construction crews. Everybody ready?
Ready in Chicago.
Montgomery.
Honolulu. Oh, who's in Honolulu?
It's Tim from Boston. I just got transferred to Hawaii. Wicked good weather they got here.
Buy one Motorola i576 phone for $69.99. Get up to four free with Sprint, the fastest national push-to-talk network. Call 1-800-NEXTEL-9. Only on the Now Network. Fastest based on initial call setup time. Offers for eligible business accounts only. See Sprint stores for availability. Ends 4/18/09. Subject to two-year agreement. Up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit per line. Restrictions apply.
Hotels.com gives you a free night for every 10 nights you book. We're basically rewarding business travelers for doing what they already do. It's like giving you a blue ribbon for wearing a tie, a gold medal for shaving, and a lifetime achievement award for putting on pants. So, stay 10 nights in one hotel or one night in 10 different hotels, any combination, and get a free night. Welcome rewards from Hotels.com, the smarter way to book. Join online or call 1-800-2-HOTELS.
Some exclusions and restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And here in Frisco, you know, we love our salt marsh harvest mouse. Love them so much, I was down the street of the Mexican restaurant, and in a taco, just perfect. Who needs a stimulus package? We've got a Mexican restaurant.
Making a living the old hard way. Taking and giving my day by day. I did snow and rain and bright sunshine.
Taking and giving day by day. How's it going for you?
Taking the land.
These are tough times, so if your answer was not a happy, smiley face, I certainly understand. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Lots to talk about, great people to talk with. And hello, Missoula. We're live in Missoula now, 4 to 6 Mountain Time, every weekday. Great to have you with us, Montana. I was there last summer, took a cruise up to Flathead Lake. Wow, you live in a beautiful place. On our program today, we'll take a look at the corporate media's work over the past week, creating distractions and outright fabrications about what was in that $789 billion stimuli package. Later this hour, as part of our continuing series of interviews with people who are on the cutting edge of greenness, we're going to talk to Kevin Cerace. He's the CEO of Sirius Materials. They're here in the Bay Area, and they are developing and marketing a green drywall and concrete products. And you say, green? What? Well, you may not realize that a lot of carbon is emitted in the processes that make drywall and concrete the old way, and Kevin Cerace and the scientists are working on new ways to do just that, to build fundamental construction materials that are greener than the ones we use now. Next hour, we'll get a rundown on Barack Obama's housing recovery plan. If you're underwater, and many people in their homes in California are, well, you'll want to be listening as Andrew Jakubowicz from the Center for American Progress. He's their associate director for the Economic Mobility Program. He'll brief us on that. We'll also get a briefing from Hina Shanzi, an attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union, on a couple of cases related to Guantanamo Bay. Those Chinese Muslims, the Uyghurs, Well, their fate is in limbo once again. A court has ruled against freeing them. And we'll also talk about the case of the teen terrorist, Mohammed Jawad. He's not a teenager anymore, but he was when he arrived at Guantanamo Bay. And we'll give you the free speech zone and lots more on the Peter B. Collins Show. And if you only get an hour or two of the program, different stations play different portions of our show, you can get the whole damn thing as a podcast or a streaming audio feed or however you like it. The links are on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. Eric Bohler joins us now from Media Matters for America. Their powerful website helps us follow the work of the corporate media and see where they go wrong. Eric, welcome to our program today.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing all right. What did you hear about the salt marsh harvest mouse? Did you think that that's really why Nancy Pelosi was supporting the stimulus package?
Apparently. You know, it's funny. Even David Frum, who's an old Bush speechwriter, and now he's blogging, a conservative blogger, he pointed to that as evidence that he thought the Republican Party was essentially bankrupt at this point. And I give him credit because there are very few conservatives who are saying that or even talking about this absurd sort of media talking points Republicans have used. And he thought the use of the San Francisco mouse was sort of a low point and thought it was ridiculous that Glenn Beck and Limbaugh and I guess it was a congressman who was waving a toy mouse around on the House floor or something.
Yeah. That was right before John Boehner dropped the bill and killed
the bill on the ground. Yeah,
yeah. they're really, you know, having a hard time coming up with their drama moves too. You know, we need some drama in this.
It's becoming increasingly sort of unhinged. There don't seem to be any adult supervision at this point. I think that was sort of Frum's larger point.
Well, and what it also suggests is that these people who are serving up this crap are geographically challenged, and they expect the viewers, readers, listeners to be the same. Because this mouse doesn't even exist in San Francisco proper.
Right, and the idea that, you know, I think they, if we go back and look at this whole stimulus, quote-unquote, debate, you know, it started with the Nancy Pelosi contraceptive thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that was essentially a success for, you know, Republicans and the Republican noise machine. So they just kept trying to reproduce that over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
As the country lost hundreds of thousands of jobs each week.
And Eric, to a certain extent, the Democrats asked for it, because we've talked with other analysts about this, and one of the points we've made is that the Democrats in some ways were negotiating with themselves. They voluntarily put tax cuts into the original proposal to try to sweet-talk Republicans, who then didn't need to negotiate for tax cuts because the Democrats had given them up cost-free.
Yeah, right.
And then Obama instructed Henry Waxman to take the family planning contraceptives, however you want to refer to it, out of that bill, and that was a signal to the Republicans, hey, you tweak Obama on something that, you know, is diverting and gets publicity, and he'll take it out of the bill.
Right, as you said, I mean, they already had their, you know, their tax cut, which was ended up being, what, 36% of the bill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it had been, you know, the Democrats could have passed a bill with probably 14% tax cuts.
Yeah.
If they'd wanted, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of gave away the store early on. But, you know, I think they learned a valuable lesson, which is it's essentially pointless. You know, it's funny that, you know, I've written about it, Media Matters, and our blog, County Fair. I mean, the press doesn't really do context at all.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that doesn't do context regarding the stimulus debate, it doesn't include context from 1993. When Bill Clinton was trying to pass his sort of centerpiece economic legislative bill, he got no support either.
Mm-hmm.
And as the bill was passing, Newt Gingrich and Phil Graham and others and were talking about the Clinton recession. It was going to ruin the economy and all this stuff. So it's interesting. I mean, the Republicans are using a very similar language, but the press doesn't connect the dots that the last time that, you know, the Republicans claimed the Democrats were going to ruin the economy. They got it almost exactly opposite.
Well,
the
other, that's an excellent point, Eric, because context is also missing from these suddenly, you know, converted fiscal hawks, deficit hawks. And, you know, there was no mention, as these people bloviated in their speeches, about, you know, that this is a tax on the next generation and this is unconscionable.
Generational theft.
Yeah.
John McCain is now suddenly very concerned about generational theft.
No mention of all the blank checks that they gave Bush.
If you saw, you know, like the New York, Washington Post or the Times, there would be a passing reference, maybe, you know, buried somewhere halfway through the article, pointing out that there was a certain irony. But it certainly was not the dominant theme. I mean, it would be like if Democrats were now suddenly, you know, going all in on a preemptive war. I mean, if they did a total 180 on a very bedrock, you know, foundation or issue, I think the press would have probably picked up on it. The other thing that's interesting, and I wrote about, there was a Washington Post editorial sort of, you know, everyone is grading Obama, you know, a month after he's been there. And the Washington editorial talked about his narrow victory on the stimulus bill. And I went back and looked at the Bush tax cut, which was passed, his early centerpiece.
Mm-hmm.
It was passed literally with an identical vote, you know,
really?
62-38. And of course, there wasn't a single reference in 2001 in the Washington Post about George Bush's narrow victory on his tax cut bill. In fact, it was celebrated as sort of a sweeping win. So it's really the double standards, and it's just almost creepy the way the press is treating the new Obama administration, exactly like they treated the new Clinton administration, and exactly like they didn't treat the Bush administration. It's really just amazing.
Yeah, it is. The corporate media is unrepentant, and it really seems that they don't recognize the shift that was signaled by the election in November.
I think we might have talked about this before. I mean, if you watched the coverage, you would have thought Republicans won the election.
Mm-hmm.
You would have thought Republicans were writing the legislation, setting the agenda. Because that's all you ever saw on TV in the last couple of weeks. I mean, literally, there was a CNN.com headline the other day, you know, Republicans criticize Obama. I mean, the press now considers that to be news. If any member of Congress, Republican member of Congress, says something critical of the new administration, that's news. That was never the standard when George Bush was president. I mean, mm-hmm. Democrats couldn't even get on TV. They held press conferences criticizing Bush, and that wasn't news. But if Republicans are upset, it's news, and that's really been sort of the guideline for the last month or so.
It's only a moment, but I have one example to counter that slightly.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Times wrote a lengthy piece, this is probably 10 days ago, about the situation in Iraq and the leak from Petraeus about how we can't really achieve Obama's timeline and that sort of thing. And in that article, they quoted Madea Benjamin from Code Pink.
Mm-hmm.
And I had not seen the Times acknowledge Code Pink except for the purpose of showing a photo of one of their disruptive antics at a hearing somewhere. And I just thought, wow, they actually included a left point of view. Now, I think I love Madea Benjamin. I think Code Pink does some interesting political theatrics. But I would rather have seen them quote Keith Ellison or, Senator Feingold or, you know, an elected leader like that. But
right.
It was interesting to me that in the course of citing many different viewpoints about exiting Iraq, they actually talked to an anti-war group.
Well, isn't that interesting that for 6 years they refused to? So now a Democrat is in office, suddenly sort of the vocal left is now, we're going to quote them because they're going to be critical of the new administration. But when Code Pink and the very vocal left was critical of the Bush, well, I mean, you know, they're just not serious people. Why would they possibly be in the New York Times?
Yeah. We'll take a break and return, and we got to take a look at your column about Jonah Goldberg, where he came from, and how he wound up as the media critic at USA Today. And just the idea that USA Today has a media critic gives me pause. We'll take a break and return with Eric Bollard. Visit the Media Matters website, mediamatters.org. And if you want to turn in a violation by the corporate media, call me right now. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast, and now live in Missoula, too. How about that? We continue with Eric Bollard from MediaMatters.org. And, Eric, you wrote a column about Jonah Goldberg, and I've got to start off with USA Today. I'm a guy who loves newspapers. It pains me to see them decline, to see the New York Times and even my San Francisco Chronicle starting to run ads on the front page. They've never done that before. It shows how desperate they are. But I've always hated the McPaper, USA Today. And when it's delivered to me in a hotel room, you know, I pick it up by the corner hoping all that color ink and those bad graphs don't rub off on me.
I like the paper.
Yeah, you do?
Well, I think it's all the other standards sort of fall by the wayside. I think what it does, I think it's journalism is looking better and better just because everyone else is looking sort of worse and worse. But yeah. But I understand. I know it's definitely not an in-depth look at the news, but
And that thing where
I actually like it.
They have one story from each of the 50 states, and it's never one that I care about.
Right.
But I do give them, you know, points for production values. It was
the first full-color
paper.
They keep the snark, and you know, they are sort of what the AP used to be. Particularly the political coverage is pretty straightforward. They don't let their writers sort of, you know, become pseudo columnists in the news pages. It's pretty straightforward stuff. Mm-hmm.
All right. So Jonah Goldberg, where did he come from?
Oh, that's Luciana Goldberg's son, famously from the impeachment saga. And he's a writer over at National Review, and unfortunately, USA Today let him write this long piece about, you know, this tired war horse already about how, you know, the press is in bed with Obama, and Obama's had a honeymoon, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, conservatives have been waiting to write that column since November 7th.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to write the column, you got to come up with some facts. And I went through and I sort of highlighted how literally Goldberg could not point to a single anecdote or fact to back up his claim. And in fact, he was manufacturing stories in his column to try to make his point. That, you know, the press is giving Obama a honeymoon, which even people in the Beltway don't think, and there's been a lot of chatter and a lot of articles written about how Obama has essentially had no honeymoon.
And he asserts in here that Obama did a Gerald Ford and ran into a door or something like that?
Yeah, he walked into a window, which is completely not true. New York Daily News, for some reason, did an idiotic item, like a weekend, you know, talking about Obama hasn't figured everything out. And he said, you know, this is outside the Oval Office, and when they're coming back to the Oval Office, he approached a window, and you know, it looked like a door, but it wasn't a door, and then he walked down and he actually opened the door.
Yeah.
So he approached a window, or he approached a door, and Goldberg turned that into he walked into a window and wondered why the press didn't make a big deal about it. I mean, talk about irony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's criticizing the press, but in order to criticize the press, he has to make up a story and then ask, well, why didn't the press cover the story? They didn't cover it because it never happened.
Yeah.
I mean, this is sort of the state of conservative media criticism. It's a complete joke. But unfortunately, you know, the mainstream press, you know, gives them all kinds of space and forums to make their points to prove that, you know, they don't have this, you know, so-called liberal bias.
Now, there was an incident that I saw some video of where Obama was getting on the helicopter Marine One and almost bumped his head. But he's a tall guy. It's a low doorway or gangway there. And he didn't, in fact, make contact. He ducked just in time.
Yeah, and the press covered it and sort of covered it as sort of a funny, you know, not particularly insightful or relevant, but yeah, you know, he bumped his head, and but you know, the press did what Goldberg claimed it went to, which was cover it. I mean, it's just so idiotic that, you know, it, 3 weeks in office and he's writing a column about the press honeymoon. And in order to prove his point, he had to make stuff up. And then he answered my column, and he never responded to that point. He refused to acknowledge the fact that he had made up a fact. I mean, as a media critic, it's really not a good idea to be, like, manufacturing stories in order to prove how bad the press is.
Why, Eric? Why would you say that?
Well, either you have, you know, sort of morals and ethics and guidelines, or you don't. And again, that's sort of the larger point about the genre of conservative media criticism. It's an absolute joke.
Yeah.
And nine times out of ten, it's just sort of assault on common sense.
Yeah, I used to, do arguments, staged arguments with Brent Bozell. And I just got tired of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's never any content there. It's just talking points and kind of empty attacks.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, it's just like, hey, Brent, go ahead, turn off the TV.
Oh, yeah.
We'll all be better off.
I mean, they he absolutely refuses to print corrections, and he wrote a whole column claiming how Barack Obama's inauguration cost four times as much as George Bush's is outright falsehood.
Well, that's because of all those $75 an hour auto workers who were there. Eric, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
I'll talk to you soon. Please.
Eric Bollert, MediaMatters.org. Coming up next, green drywall and concrete. We'll talk about it.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood. As a senator, Barack Obama was against the surge in Iraq, and as presidential candidate, he focused more on bringing troops home than sending any in. Now, in Afghanistan, he finds himself with the responsibilities of commander-in-chief.
Here as well, there are a lot of concerns about a conflict that has lasted quite a long time now and actually appears to be deteriorating at this point.
So now he's sending another 17,000 American troops to Afghanistan. Do I hear the S word?
This is really a surge. I mean, we're not using the S word, but this is a surge.
More from CBS News military analyst Mike Lyons after this.
Larry Kenny here with an important message concerning prostate health. Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Well, don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 50, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. So what do you do? See your doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body maintain prostate health. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same healthy benefits of one Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-390-3621. That's 1-800-390-3621. With Beta Prostate, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Call 1-800-390-3621 right now. 1-800-390-3621.
Carl von Clausewitz described war as a continuation of politics by other means. Politically, President Obama still says,
I'm absolutely convinced that you cannot solve the problem of Afghanistan, the Taliban, the spread of extremism in that region solely through military means. We're going to have to use diplomacy. We're going to have to use development.
However, Mr. Obama is now also continuing those diplomatic efforts by other means, sending 17,000 more U.S. troops there. CBS News military analyst Mike Lyons.
This has become now President Obama's war. He's going to have this responsibility for the next 3 to 4 years, for his entire presidency. You won't see the troop level come down. He's got to win this fight here right now. And the commanders on the ground are saying that if they have these troop levels there, they can rout the Taliban forces there and create a very stable economy. We're just not really sure that's going to happen until you have cooperation from Pakistan, for example.
Which presents problems that are political in an all too familiar way.
If you don't have the success from a military perspective early on in this decision, he'll have to potentially go back to Congress and ask for more troops. That is a total slippery slope. I don't think the American people would want to tolerate more troops in Afghanistan while we're trying to take them out of Iraq at the same time.
Sometimes it seems the more things change, the more they stay the same.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw 30,000 to 40,000 troops in Iraq deployed back to the United States over the next year. Unfortunately, though, some of those troops will be going to Afghanistan.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffee.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We also wear green glasses at all times so that we can see the green future right here in California. The state is broke, going off an economic cliff, but there's a lot of great R&D occurring right now. Recently, I learned about an interesting company right here in the Bay Area that is producing windows, drywall, and concrete using new processes that reduce the CO2 emissions and other pollutants that occur through the traditional creation or manufacturing of these products. To learn more, we turn to Kevin Cerace. He is the president and CEO of Sirius Materials, and that's Sirius like not funny, not Sirius like the satellite radio company or the constellation in the sky. Kevin, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's good to talk with you, and I've seen your website where you appear in the lower right corner there, and talk to me.
It's a little mini-me, isn't it? A little embarrassing, but nevertheless, it works to get the message across and spread some awareness about the climate change issues and the issues of the built environment.
And do you drive a Mini Cooper?
I actually drive an EV, one of 320 or so in the state right now, and they're very hard to get, but it's a Toyota RAV4 EV.
Oh, okay, because, yeah, I knew it couldn't be one of the General Motors ones. They took them all back and crushed them.
Yes, they did, and Toyota tried to do the same, but there were 300 and some odd owners that stood up and said, we're not leasing these, we own them, and fortunately I was able to get my hands on one some time ago. So that's the best we can do today in terms of clean driving.
Now, tell us about Sirius Materials, how long you've been around, and where did the technology surface for this new generation of building materials?
Well, it's a wonderful question, of course, a wonderful story. I'm a tech guy, and I've run several tech companies, public and private, in the Valley here. And back in 2002, as the Valley was going through, as tech was going through its downturn, one of the things that was obvious is that material science had been underinvested. In fact, has been underinvested since the 70s. And you can, in fact, track this. When you look at about the mid-70s or so, there's this thing that shoots off, and it's called IT. And then IT, both hardware and software, that's networking equipment to computers to all the software that we use today to the Internet, got all the funding. And, and so much so they got trillions of dollars in funding, of which, you know, many of the companies that I ran were part of. But by 2002, it was obvious that that had possibly run much of its course. We've seen tremendous productivity gains in those areas that we all enjoy today with our iPods and phones and computers on our desk. But material science hasn't fundamentally changed in decades. And so the things that we see around us, wherever you are today, if you look at the plastics, if you look at the wood, if you look at the ceiling tiles or the lights or the walls or whatever it is, the floors, the ceilings, the doors, the windows, in the building you're in the car you're in, they have fundamentally not changed in many, many decades, and some of them have not changed in over 100 years.
Okay, and in order to get the funding you need to drive the research and development, is it climate change that really is the driver here that convinces money that there is a market for a new generation of smarter building materials?
Well, I wish it was just climate change because, I think that's what it should be. This country should recognize that our dependence on foreign oil, our dependence on energy, our usage of energy at the rates we use it, in addition to the climate change issues, which are extremely much more serious than most people know, you would think would be enough to drive it. But in the end, it isn't, and that's okay. And you know, the recent surveys show about 9% of the people in this country will do whatever they can to help the climate change issue. And that's great, because that's 9% more probably than we had before Gore's movie. But you know, that means 81% aren't doing it. In fact, 18% say they don't believe in climate change at all. And the rest say, I recycled my newspaper this morning. What more do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a lot to learn in the country, for sure, and even in the Bay Area. But California certainly leads the nation in this thinking. But to answer your question very directly, you have to have products today that not only address climate change and not only give you green or LEED points for green building, but they had better be either the same or lower cost or the same or better performance, or save you money after you use them. So somewhere along the line, you're saving money or getting something for that dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a high bar, because if you're going to replace something that's 100 years old, drywall, gypsum drywall is 115 years old. 115 years it's been made exactly the same way. So, you know, the negative is the material science that we had 115 years ago is terrible compared to today. But the positive is they've had 115 years to come down the cost curve.
Mm-hmm.
So to come out with a brand new product and compete with that head on,
yeah,
takes really world-class R&D and a world-class, and we have a world-class team here. We're very blessed with a great team of people.
Kevin Sarais is with us. He's president and CEO of Sirius Materials. If you want to check it out, their website is SiriusMaterials.com, and there's a lot of good information there that you can find out about these new generation of windows, drywall, concrete. And are there any other key materials that you're offering right now?
You know, we are really focused on interior products, which are our drywall products, our Quiet Rock, which is a soundproof drywall. It's hotels, it's music room, it's bedrooms, it's, you know, kids' practice rooms, everything else. To our Eco Rock, which is an eco-friendly, it's five times more environmentally friendly than the old style gypsum. That's just coming to market now,
mm-hmm.
just starting to be available on the West Coast, but sort of limited availability for the next few months. And then our what we call Sirius windows, and these are high R value windows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably worth a little conversation about R value. I don't know if you're familiar with R value or your listeners are familiar with R value.
A little bit. I replaced windows at our house about 5 years ago, and so I did the research then and learned a little bit about you know, the advances that have been made, and also the better seals that keep double-paned windows from developing leaks and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So that was one of the advancements. Primarily today, let me talk about R value quickly. Most people, when you say R value, they'll remember that when they walk into Home Depot or Lowe's and see insulation, it has a big R value, like R38 or R13 or R11 or R17, things like that. And the thicker the insulation gets, the higher the R value. R value, think of it as resistance to heat flow. So obviously we don't want to have uninsulated walls anymore, and we know that. We've been insulating our walls throughout the country since the mid-70s, since the oil crisis of the early to mid-70s. We focused on insulation. Since the 80s, it's been in code. So we insulate our walls today to R11 or R13, R15, R17 sometimes. An uninsulated wall is R2 to R3. Not very good. We lose all our heat through those walls.
Mm-hmm.
So windows back in the early 70s and mid-70s decided we had better go dual pane. Well, what's interesting about that is the dual pane window was actually patented in 1865.
Oh, really?
So between 1865 and about 1975, finally, after 110 years, someone said, all right, finally, we'll make these dual pane things, right? Even though it was 110 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the seals have gotten better, so they last longer, et cetera. But the fundamentals haven't changed. And then in 1978, there was one big advancement called low-E coatings. So when we buy a dual-pane low-E today for our homes to replace our windows, and it says energy-saving dual-pane low-E, what they really mean is they're now using 1978 technology. And they don't tell you that. But, frankly, that's exactly what's happening. And that isn't bad. It's better than a single-pane window.
Yeah, but the tip-off is in the TV commercial they're using Tony Orlando as their pitch man.
That's right. Well, you know, tie a yellow ribbon, right? So we would prefer to tie a green ribbon around what we're doing. You know, our challenge, I think, when you look at a lot of advertisements, and I'm not going to pick on anyone, but a lot of ads today, we talk about greenwashing, and I'm sure you've talked about it on your show, and this is a comment. And greenwashing sort of permeates all kinds of areas of our society simply because, you know, marketing departments are trying to be out there and sell products. So even if they're not you know, directly lying, they're really stretching the truth. So, for instance, when a window company says, we can save you 28% of your energy bill, what they mean is in comparison to a single-pane window that you can no longer legally buy.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that is a comparison, but it's not a very fair comparison because you're comparing to something you couldn't buy anyway.
A vast leap forward over the dark ages.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And instead, if you said compared to any other brand, well, it turns out, frankly, to be honest with you, no brand of window today, aside from us, has any advantage over virtually any other brand other than style and service. But in terms of our value, they're all the same
mm-hmm.
because everybody buys their glass from the same people. So the R value is the same. Well, we actually make our own glass packages, which is called an IGU. I won't get into the technology. But there's 8 different things you can do to a window, and as you do them, you start to move the R value up. So a little-known fact is your dual-pane low-E windows that are supposedly, you know, energy-saving are actually only R2 to R3.
Hmm.
Now, the Department of Energy knows this. We know this. They've been trying to raise the Energy Star bar for 5 to 7 years, and they can't get the manufacturers to accept the higher bar. But the net result is if everyone just asked, what's the R value of these windows, and they heard R3, and they know their walls are R11,
mm-hmm.
they would probably, you know, look at the guy and say, look, is there something you have that's more close to my walls here?
You know, I thought that Pella salesman was kind of shifty.
Yeah, well, I'll let you mention the brand names because I won't get into that. But, you know, we try to respect all the brands. But the fact of the matter is these people have an investment in a factory that makes R2 to R3. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, to change those factories costs money. And their number one focus is their profits. And, people have to make a profit. So I'm not picking on that. But we've got a higher calling, and our higher calling, you can see the mission on our website, is we aim to save 1 billion tons a year of CO2. Now, we've got a CO2 counter on there. I think we're at 2.2 billion pounds right now to
mm-hmm.
date saved. So we have a long way to go. Long. It's going to take us another dozen years to get there. But the fact of the matter is that starts to change our thinking, and it changes our thinking enough where we've said if we do what's right, people will come. And so far, that's actually proved out to be the case.
Now, Kevin, give me a comparison here, just on a price basis, with your windows that have the higher R value, and what range are they in?
Yeah, so we make windows from R5 to R11. Those are the highest R
mm-hmm.
value windows made on the planet today.
Uh-huh.
They're 4 times Energy Star at the top end. They're at least 2 times better than virtually any other window you can buy from any other manufacturer, period, and that directly relates to heating and cooling savings.
Okay, and so then where do you compare on the cost side?
Great question. So our R5 windows are starting at about the same price as many people's R2 to R3.
Mm-hmm.
So we're right in there with their R3. So the R value, the ROI, excuse me, on an R5 window from us can be infinite because it doesn't cost you any more than someone else's R3. And then they do go up from there. Now, at R11, they're very expensive. We have
mm-hmm.
a lot of customers who are building LEED homes, you know, very green homes, and they want the highest energy savings. They want it in fiberglass, and they will pay, you know, that extra money. But those high-end windows could be $40, $50, $60 a square foot.
Mm-hmm.
But the lower-end products are $15 to $20 a square foot. And that's right in there with, you know, what other high-quality, dual-pane windows would be.
And in simple terms, they're vinyl-clad windows. What are the construction materials beyond that?
Right. So we've got the lower-end products are vinyl. The high-end products are fiberglass. The fiberglass windows are just beautiful, but they are more expensive. It's a much greener material to use than vinyl, without question. But we offer the lower-end products. But even at the lower-end product, we're R5 on up. And then they have things like suspended films, different air chambers inside.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the glass is dropped in a way that seals around the glass instead of a dry seal. It's a wet seal. We use Tri-Fin weather stripping. We have very wide IGs. You have foam-filled frames so that the frames themselves are insulated. And if you do all those things, then you work your way up to R5, R7, R9, mm-hmm. R11.
Okay. Kevin, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you about some of the processes and how your development of this new generation of drywall and concrete reduces the amount of carbon produced during that manufacturing process. And then we'll talk about how they compare with the age-old products of concrete and drywall that people are used to. Kevin Sarace is our guest. He's president and CEO of Sirius Materials. Their website, Sirius Materials. And if you have a question or comment, get on the green line right now. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
if you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Sun Street Centers has an outpatient recovery program designed for men and women with alcohol or drug issues, referred by the court system, employer-referred, or self-referred. Sun Street also takes insurance. At Sun Street, you're provided with one-on-one and group sessions that focus on relapse prevention, parenting skills, anger management, and family issues, and introduces the 12-step program. You can choose either 2 or 3 days a week or evenings with sites in Salinas and Marina. Just go to sunstreetcenters.org to sign up. sunstreetcenters.org.
The Stupidest Criminal of the Month Award.
This one was easy. A guy was delivering newspapers on the east side of Santa Cruz. And he left his car running when he went to go drop off one of our fine local six-page papers. The Sun.
Right.
And his car got stolen from him. They go on a full-on hour-and-a-half chase throughout the county. Apparently, you know, it's hard to find a car going 100 miles an hour. So an hour and a half passes, I mean, back and forth up and throughout the county. And he finally comes back into Santa Cruz. The guy's been evading cops for an hour and a half, and he crashes his car and jumps the fence into the jail park, right there in the jail.
Oh.
You avoid cops for an hour and a half, and you crash your car into the jail fence?
That's an incredible story, man. So did they get him?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Richard Stockton here with a minute from the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour.
Hi, this is Hal, and you're listening to KRXA 540. Just wanted to let you know about some of our recent schedule changes. First of all, we are playing basketball from Cal State Monterey Bay and Cal Berkeley this year. So if your favorite program is interrupted, we apologize, but you can catch all of our talk shows in full on the Internet at their regularly scheduled times at KRXA540.com. In addition, we are now playing Ed Schultz live from 10 to noon. We play the first hour of Ed 8 to 9 p.m., and we play the entire Tom Hartman Show 9 to midnight, Monday through Friday, with the exception of Thursday, when we start Tom Hartman Show at 11 in the evening and run it through 2 in the morning. Thank you so much for listening to KRXA 540 and on the internet at KRXA540.com.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on, originating in San Francisco. Just down the road in Silicon Valley, research and development teams are hard at work developing products for your green future. And some of them are available right now at that Home Depot store that's closing very soon. Kevin Cerace is the president and CEO of Sirius Materials. Again, their website, SiriusMaterials.com. So, Kevin, now talk a little bit about the processes and why your approach to, in this case, drywall and concrete creation produces less carbon emissions, and by how much?
That's a great question. So our drywall product, our environmentally friendly drywall product, is called EcoRock. We spent 3 years in development, and we had to develop a brand-new material science. The manufacture of gypsum drywall, since it was developed in the late 1800s, used tremendous amounts of energy. It has to be what's called calcined. So basically you have to cook the thing up front,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a slurry on a line, and then you have to dry it. And when we talk dry, we're talking about the size of a building sort of dryer,
yeah.
you know, a city block dryer. Mm-hmm. And between calcining and drying, it can take upwards of about 200,000 BTUs for each 4x8 sheet of drywall.
Wow.
That 200,000 BTUs is a lot of energy,
mm-hmm.
for those who know British thermal units. If you can't think of that, let's talk about CO2 on a national basis. The manufactured drywall generates about 20 billion pounds of CO2 every year. That's billion pounds of
mm-hmm.
CO2 annually. This is a huge generator. Now, these are not bad people. It's not a bad price. It's just old. It's from the late 1800s. So those are the processes we had then. Energy was free, and CO2 was an unknown villain. Well, today, that entire formula has changed. energy is an issue. Energy is costly. Energy is running out. And CO2 is an absolute villain, which we never suspected, but we do now. So it just came time to, you know, redo that technology.
Mm-hmm.
And our team went to work about 3 years ago. We had what we call formula freeze back in August when we stopped all development and moved everything to production. We built the production line, and their first production line is in Sunnyvale, California.
Mm-hmm.
It's a smaller line, but we can produce substantial amounts of production from it, and it has no calcining and no drying. So in the factory, we use about 97% less energy than a typical drywall factory. However, because we have additives and things that have to come in, we look at the full life cycle analysis, and when you look at the core life cycle analysis, it's about 80% overall less CO2, because you have to include, you know, there's the glass fibers and there's other things that go in here that come to us from other people that aren't going to change their process. So it's an 80% reduction in CO2, 80% reduction in energy. It is quite a substantial improvement over anything that's been developed. And some of the best parts, it's 50% more mold resistant. It's the first termite resistant drywall in the world. Nobody's ever done it before.
And does it have any downside in comparison to traditional drywall?
Well, it weighs the same, it looks the same, it paints the same, it hangs the same. You know, we don't think so. I mean, it is going to sell for about the same price as other premium drywalls. Now, there's low-end drywall that's, you know, let's say it's $8 a sheet at Home Depot or something. But there's premium drywalls in the mid-teens that are mold-resistant. So it's going to sell against the other mold-resistant sorts of products.
And there's a certain kind of drywall, I can't remember the name, that's used, for example, in a shower enclosure.
Sure, that was called green board. Now they're making you use a cement board or dens board, but that's right. Those are typically in the mid-teens. There's blue board for certain kinds of surfaces that's a lath and plaster and things, and those are typically in the teens. So again, those premium drywalls, we're going to be selling with those premium drywalls.
Mm-hmm. Now let's turn to the concrete process, and I learned a little bit about this a few months ago talking to Professor Brent Constance from Stanford.
Yeah.
And he seems to be in a startup competing with you called Calera.
Yeah, well, we know Calera well. We actually don't have a concrete process here per se. But I'm on the board of a company called Integrity Block, and they make, and they're in production today on a beautiful, beautiful architectural block that replaces CMU blocks, and they're just stunning, and it's 40 or 50% less CO2 than a regular CMU block and the same price.
I see.
From an architectural block standpoint, and they look much nicer. But actually what they're doing, Calera, is beautiful. If it works, I mean, it works on paper, and you know, very quickly what that does is potentially absorb CO2, say from a power plant,
right,
and use the heat and the CO2 from the power plant and sort of mix it with some brackish and seawater and hopefully get some concrete out of it. We'll see if that works in scale, but look, I'm hopeful all these things work.
Now, Kevin,
all need to address these problems.
You're doing very exciting work. We saw President Obama go to Denver and stand on a roof and look at some solar panels yesterday as he signed the stimulus package. Is there anything in the stimulus package that is going to help you accelerate the delivery to market of your exciting new product?
So absolutely. You know, the stimulus package included almost $5 billion of weatherization for low-income homes, another $4 to $5 billion in federal building retrofits. All of those are highly impacted by windows, and in many of those buildings and homes, the number one heat loss they have is windows, poor windows.
Mm-hmm.
And so our high R-value windows show a much higher ROI than dual pane low E windows would. And so we've expanded our capacity already 10x. And in fact, I think you used to live in Chicago at one time, right? And maybe you got
That's
your
true.
Start there.
Yeah, you've been doing your research. That's right, Kevin.
And we have recently announced that we are in negotiations to take over a plant in Chicago that closed. It's the one where the union
sit
in.
Yeah, the window company.
Windows and Doors. Island.
Uh-huh.
And we're still working through that with the courts, but hopefully if everything goes right, we will be giving those people their jobs back and retraining them to do green collar jobs with these high end windows. And of course, that's right in Obama's backyard there.
Well, good. And don't be allergic to unions, okay?
No, we are not. We call it Union 3.0, which is let's work together.
Good
for
you.
There's not workers. There's not management. We're all together trying to fix the economy, trying to bring jobs back, trying to help people with their energy bills, and trying to save the climate at the same time.
Okay, Kevin, 20 seconds. When are you going public, and can I get on the friends and family list?
One, I think friends and family might be illegal now. But we remember the days it wasn't a number. Number two, if you can tell me when the public markets are going to open up, you've got a better look at that than I do.
All right, Kevin. Thank you for joining us. It's fascinating to learn what you're doing at Sirius Materials.
Thank you, Peter. Absolute pleasure.
All right, mine too. Kevin Cerace, President and CEO. Again, the website, Sirius, like not funny, SiriusMaterials.com. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. There's a podcast available. You can share it with a friend. Find the link on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A plan to stabilize the home market.
Through this plan, we will help between 7 and 9 million families avoid foreclosure.
But the Fed's economic forecast gets worse.
Recent economic statistics have been dismal, with many economies, including ours, having fallen into recession.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Tammy Woods of Phoenix is among the millions of homeowners grasping for a lifeline.
This isn't just my problem, because if I lose my home, it affects my neighbors, it affects my neighborhood, it definitely affects all of us.
That's the argument made by the president to justify a $75 billion plan to prevent foreclosures and keep the housing crisis from getting even worse.
President Obama describes it as a crisis unlike any the nation has ever seen. His plan is aimed at the source of broader economic problems.
When the housing markets collapsed, so did the availability of credit on which our economy depends.
A key part of the plan would ease refinancing guidelines for people who owe more on their mortgages than their homes are worth. It also calls for federally financed incentives for mortgage lenders to help millions of people on the brink of foreclosure. President Obama warned it won't save every home, but he predicted it would prevent even greater economic havoc. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Mesa, Arizona.
They're talking big numbers here, although it remains to be seen how many people can be helped.
Guy Sakala, president and editor of Inside Mortgage Finance, thinks the plan has a chance.
It's a lot of money to throw at the situation, and it should do some results, although we really have to see how long it takes to implement it and whether the mortgage industry really jumps on board.
Investors are still skittish. Yesterday, as the president signed the economic stimulus bill, the Dow dropped nearly 300 points. Today, it gained a mere 3 points.
I'm Dan Raviv. A huge stimulus package, loans to car companies, the program to stabilize banks, and now a housing rescue. Wall Street investment managers say their clients, just average citizens, have doubts that all those steps will work anytime soon. Economists say the need is genuine. Construction of new homes fell by 17% last month, and also dropping to a record low, applications for building permits.
Now this.
It's a different world out there today, so it's good to know there are some things you can count on, like the quality of a Honda. Honda has the most durable, long-lasting line of cars in its class, which is one reason Honda can continue to offer affordable leasing when some other auto manufacturers can't. Honda. Simple. Go to shophonda.com to build and price your own Accord. Durability based on longevity. Longevity based on Arlo Pocan Company U.S. Vehicles and Operation Registration Statistics 1988 through 2007 for Honda and competing models.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires, your brakes, your battery, your oil and filter, your fluid levels, and your belts and hoses.
Could you check us, please?
Okay, okay, I'm on my way to the Ford dealer now for the Works Fuel Saver Package. You'll all get checked or tested or changed or rotated or filled.
Oh, filled is good.
For just $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Woohoo! I love this guy!
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for rebate details through 33109.
The Federal Reserve says things could be worse than expected. Its revised forecast says unemployment could hit 8.8%, and it abandons all hope of economic expansion this year. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke says he understands how bad things are.
The unemployment rate in the small town in South Carolina where I grew up has risen to 14%. And I learned the other day that what had once been my family home has been recently put through foreclosure.
Bernanke told the National Press Club that we can break the back of this thing with strong and aggressive action. Major credit card issuers, including Visa, MasterCard, and Discover, have set up a website and a toll-free number to help customers struggling with debt. Greg McBride is senior financial analyst at Bankrate.com.
Credit card defaults are not only rising, but they're expected to continue to climb, particularly with the unemployment rate also expected to rise throughout 2009.
The Help With My Credit campaign will connect callers with a customer service representative or, if they owe on multiple cards, a credit counselor. Swiss banking giant UBS, accused of conspiring with its wealthy clients to cheat the U.S. government out of tax revenue, has agreed to pay $780 million. It's also agreed to turn over information on American customers' accounts. General David McKernan, the U.S. commander in Afghanistan, says the 17,000 additional troops approved by President Obama should be in place by the summer.
What this allows us to do is change the dynamics of the security situation, predominantly in southern Afghanistan, where we are at best stalemated.
He says there's an increased level of violence.
Even with these additional forces, I have to tell you that 2009 is going to be a tough year.
McKernan said the new higher troop level might have to be maintained till 2014. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
So my little brother, who runs his own business, tells me, the holy grail in business is your customer's email. So I'm like, okay, but how can you, Mr. No Creative Bone in Your Body, do something snazzy like email marketing? And he goes, ConstantContact.com. You know, if I had known he'd be this successful, I totally would have given him the top bunk.
ConstantContact.com. Email marketing with tons of easy-to-use, professional-looking templates so you can be as creative as you want. Get a free 60-day trial and free live phone support at ConstantContact.com.
Staples is happy to announce that you can now recycle any ink or toner cartridge and receive $3 back in Staples rewards. That's right, any ink or toner.
How about Canon?
Yes.
What about HP?
I did say any.
Epson?
Yes.
Brother?
Yes. Any.
Lexmark?
Yes.
What about Dell?
Oh.
Now save the easy way. Recycle any brand of ink or toner cartridge at Staples and get $3 back in Staples rewards. That was easy.
Recycling limit of 10 per calendar month per customer. Limit 1 Staples rewards account per address. Visit staplesrewards.com for full details.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, we'll take another look at Guantanamo Bay. It's supposed to be closing, but all the legal cases continue to spin out in a bizarre manner. Hina Shansi, an attorney with the ACLU, will join me later this hour. But first, if you're living in a home where the mortgage is worth more than the home, you are underwater, my friend.
The West is Sunday best.
And Obama's throwing you a lifeboat.
Jesus, the kids are playing up and said, sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got his knife to keep me coming around. Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our house, it has a crowd. There's always something happening, and it's usually quite loud.
Some homeowners are underwater because they used poor judgment in selecting their mortgage. Some people are underwater because they're a victim of predatory lending. But there are a lot of people who are underwater who didn't do anything wrong, but because their neighborhood has declined in value, so has the equity in their home. And as we know, problem loans, the Alt-A, the Option A, ARM loans, the adjustable rate mortgages, these are all now in a pipeline where it's very hard to ferret them out. They were sliced and diced, as the term goes, into the securitized mortgage products, and they are the virus that is at the heart of the economic illness that we're working through right now. Andrew Jakubowicz returns to our program. He's the Associate Director for the Economic Mobility Program at Washington's Center for American Progress. Andrew, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So the president went to Phoenix, and what had been rumored to be a $50 billion package has been amped up to $75
billion. Yeah.
And it's an interesting way of approaching the problems that I just tried to summarize, in that it tries to induce the lenders to work with the borrowers to try to ease the pressure by reducing the interest rate or lengthening the loan to reduce the total monthly payment. And it includes some incentives for the banks and other lenders to actually move to modify these loans.
That was actually an excellent summary of the plan. That was well stated.
Well, what else is in there? Because that's all I know so far. And on the face of it, these seem to be reasonable ideas that could help some portions of the underwater population I described.
Right. And I think that there are two big pieces in terms of helping folks who are currently having trouble making their mortgage payments or certainly expect to have trouble in the near future. The first is that if you have a loan that has been sold to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, so it's a conforming loan, which obviously in California serves less folks just because of the conforming loan limits up until recently.
Right.
But in general, if you have a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan and the value of your house has declined, right, so in most of those cases you need to have had sort of an 80% first mortgage. So here they'll allow you to refinance up until 105%. So if the value of the property has declined, obviously the mortgage doesn't fall just because the property has declined in value.
Mm-hmm.
You'd still be able to refinance with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And they expect that about 4 or 5 million people will be able to take advantage of refinancing through that program, basically by sort of liberalizing some of the down payment and equity restriction.
Mm-hmm.
But for the majority of folks out there, you know, the folks who don't have a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan, or have a higher loan to value than would allow the sort of streamlined refinancing that they're talking about, what will happen is servicers may give you the option to reduce your interest rate. And so what they'll do is they'll say, look, we're going to ignore for the moment what the value of the property is. We recognize that proceeding to foreclosure is costly for us. And so if we can keep you in the home making, you know, most of what your original payment was going to be, then, you know, sort of everybody wins on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they're going to do that is by basically, you're going to have to document what your income is. But basically, they'll write your mortgage down, or your interest payment down, to a level at which your monthly payment will be 31% of your income. And they'll do that basically by saying that anything, you know, sort of take your original payment, and anything that would be more than 38% of your monthly income, the bank basically takes that as a straight write-off in terms
mm-hmm.
of that percentage of your monthly payment.
Mm-hmm.
And then to go to from 38% to 31%, the way it works is basically the servicer or the lender would get a match from the government dollar for dollar. So basically, in writing it down to the mortgage to 31% of your income, really from the lender or the investor's perspective, it's being written down to about 34 to 34.5% in terms of the money that they'd get at the end of the month
mm-hmm.
from your mortgage payment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm following you mostly here.
Okay.
When we get to that 31% level, that assumes that the income picture in that household hasn't changed, right?
Well, it's based on your current income, not your income at the time of the origination.
Oh, okay.
It's based on your current ability to make a payment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what if you don't have an income? You've been laid off and, you know, you've been paying your mortgage out of savings or some other source.
So, unfortunately, you wouldn't be eligible for one of these automatic or sort of streamlined types of refinancing. Now,
okay.
Ideally, servicers would still be willing to work with you, particularly if you have savings and if your loan, you know, if you basically sort of have a short-term layoff or cut back in hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the things, obviously, is that at the end of the day, if you have no more source of income, then the best thing for you is probably to figure a way to get out of that property into a, you know, sort of transition safely into a rental house
mm-hmm.
Or rental apartment and, you know, begin building back up your savings. I think that to kind of force people to stay stuck in their, trapped in their homes, and we sort of certainly encourage home ownership to a great degree in this country, but it is by no means appropriate for everybody at every point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that's, that is going to be part of a broader conversation we're likely to see.
Andrew Yakubovics is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show from the Center for American Progress. If you have a question or a comment about the mortgage problems in this country, about the Obama administration's plans here with this $75 billion package, I invite you to call right now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And Andrew, let me give you an example. My listeners heard me talk about this young couple about a month ago. And they bought their first home about 2 years ago. They've got a young child. They're both employed. And they followed all the rules. They took out a 90% loan. They took in a roommate who signed a long-term lease and agreed to contribute to the mortgage. That roommate lost her job, and it kind of created the snowball effect that they are facing right now. Their home has declined from $5.25 million to about $410,000. So their mortgage at 90% is somewhere up around 480, somewhere in that zone. And they have stopped making payments because their lender would not agree to any kind of workout or modification until they were in arrears, until they showed up as non-paying.
Right.
And this, of course, is a conundrum because it dings their credit record. It makes it more difficult for them. Even if they were able to pull off a miracle and sell this house and get out from under it, their credit is damaged for 7 to 10 years.
Right.
So have we modified any of these processes that permit people to start a workout with a lender before they have suspended payments?
Yes. Actually, and I think that that's one of the really sort of smart things about this plan is that, I mean, the truth is that people who run into problems, just like, you know, your couple here, would often sort of do the responsible thing and say, look, we know we're going to have problems. What can we do before we run late on the mortgage?
Mm-hmm.
And quite often the servers would say, you know what, we're so backed up, we're not going to talk to you anyway, so you might as well go into default, because at least then we sort of have some incentive to listen to you.
Yeah.
And so it was servicers telling people not to make mortgage payments, which is just absurd on, you know, if you sort of any time thinking about it. and this program basically says, look, if you know that you're going to have problems, then you're already eligible. You don't need to go into default to get help.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but it actually makes an incentive payment to servicers and to lenders to go out and find these people in advance of their default. And so if you're a servicer, you get paid $500. To go out and proactively make a modification for folks. And if you're a lender who never bothered, you know, securitizing the mortgage, that you originated the loan and you kept it on your books, you'd get $1,500 for doing this. So it really does address some of that, you know, sort of the absurdity of telling people that in order to get help, they basically have to stop paying their mortgage.
Yeah, okay. Andrew, we're going to take a break. I've got a couple of callers who want to talk with you who have, I think, pretty specific questions, so we'll allow time for that as we go forward here. Andrew Yakubovics is with us from the Center for American Progress, Associate Director for the Economic Mobility Program, and we're talking about the Obama administration's proposal unveiled today in Phoenix, where the housing market's been underwater for almost 2 years now, and it's a $75 billion package. We'll continue and take your phone calls at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Princess Monterey Whale Watching has Monterey Bay's leading ocean tours. The largest, most comfortable boats offers a narrated history of all our marine wildlife. You'll see everything from orcas, gray whales, dolphins, otters, humpback whales. Also a variety of seabirds, jellyfish, even sea turtles. Great for field trips or private parties. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey. Call 800-979-3370 for reservations or go online to princessmontereywhalewatching.com.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibration.
Tools for Transformation
is being preempted by sports programming this month.
We'll run encore presentations of some of your favorite shows on the internet, so tune in. Good Vibration.
Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM Traffic and Weather Report. Right now in Santa Cruz, we have a report of a fire on East Zayanti Road, just south of Quail Hollow Road. Also in Santa Cruz, on the southbound one at Morrissey Boulevard, we have a traffic hazard. There's a can rolling around in the highway, so watch out for that. And taking a look at the Hollister-Gilroy area, we have a traffic hazard on Highway 152, just west of Fifield Road. There's a jackknife big rig blocking the number one lane. In weather, it's partly sunny with highs in the 60s to mid-50s. Tonight, we're expecting it to be partly cloudy with lows in the lower 40s and southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Well, that's your AM 540 traffic and weather. Have an amazing afternoon, everyone. The Peter B. Collins Show will return in a moment.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Barack Obama went to Phoenix to unveil his housing bailout plan. I wonder if this was on his iPod.
By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. Oh, and she'll find.
Ah, the late, great Isaac Hayes. One of my favorite versions of By the Time I Get to Phoenix. We're talking with Andrew. Andrew, I'm having trouble. We were working on...
Jacobovix.
That's so easy.
Yeah.
Jacobovix. Okay. I was putting the emphasis in the wrong place.
That's all right.
He's, by the way, from the Center for American Progress. We're talking about Obama's housing and mortgage relief plan. And big picture, before we go to calls and talk about some specific cases of mortgage challenges, will this solve the problem? It's alleged to address up to 9 million homeowners, and that's better than nothing. But aren't we looking at a problem that's really in the trillions of dollars in terms of the number of problem mortgages that are out there right now?
Well, I think it's important to sort of distinguish between sort of the number of people at risk and the degree to which losses might be taken. So the total number of mortgages, I mean, there are about $12 trillion in mortgages out there.
Right.
Certainly not all of them are going to go bad. And if you kind of think about the fact that even at the end of the day, if a home goes into foreclosure, somebody will buy it for some price greater than zero in most cases. So the losses that you might see if homes go into foreclosure is really not kind of that big picture number, but it's really, I think, the sort of the small impact that add up in terms of the impact on neighborhoods and on communities. And I think one of the guiding principles of this plan, actually, is to prevent foreclosures to the degree possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because every house that goes into foreclosure helps drive down the values of neighboring properties. And so arresting that process by which local markets get flooded with bank-owned properties, I mean, sort of a familiar sight in most parts of places in California, unfortunately.
You bet. Modesto, Stockton, there's no market left.
Yeah. And so it's the extent that you prevent more homes from falling into foreclosure, you help protect some of the value that remains in the properties as they're still occupied by owners.
Gotcha. But is $75 billion enough to address this problem, or is it a drop in the bucket?
So I think the way it's being used is actually relatively smart in terms of really requiring some of the loss to be borne by the investors, and then the government kind of steps in and helps buy down some of the cost to get it to a 31% debt-to-income ratio, which really, at the end of the day, should be sustainable for most folks. And that's focusing purely on the cost of your mortgage on a monthly basis for that first mortgage. So you may have credit card debt, you may have an auto loan, you may have school loans, et cetera. And actually what they'll do is if your total indebtedness actually is greater than 55%, which is really a tremendous burden, in order to be eligible for the mortgage adjustment under this program, you'll also need to get financial counseling, HUD-approved counseling to kind of help you manage your debt. And so it kind of is a way to prevent people from just sort of getting this modification and then basically redefaulting because their other debts are too much for them to handle.
Let's talk to Stephanie in Greenfield listening on KRXA. Hi, Stephanie. Good to talk to you again.
Hi. How are you? I have a question about does this program only, or is it only going to apply to mortgages that are guaranteed by Freddie and Fannie? And if so, I tried to call my lender, B of A, to see if I'm Freddie or Fannie, and they said they don't tell their customers that. How do I find that out?
Okay. So there are two separate programs that are related. So if you happen to have a Fannie or Freddie loan, then you'd potentially be able to refinance back into a Fannie and Freddie, even if you happen to be underwater less than 105%. If not, then you'd still be eligible for this interest rate reduction to make the loan sustainable. And basically, at this point, they may not be releasing that information, but basically starting, I believe it's March 4th, you'll be able to call your lender, and they should be able to tell you if it is, in fact, a Fannie or Freddie loan at that point. So they may not have the kind of processes in place to be able to figure that out when you first call them, but the expectation is that by March 4th, this should be up and running.
And when you call B of A, press 7 to talk to a person who's about to be laid off.
That's so annoying.
Okay, Stephanie, thank you very much. Now to Nick in Monterey. Go ahead, Nick. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. Great show, Peter, always.
Thank you.
I've recently been contacted by the HOPE team, which has sent me some loan modification papers, which we felt we had to sign just to stay in our house.
Okay.
Where does that leave me? Do I try to remodify? Because it's just like a two-year modification, and after that it goes, the fact it says on paper, be ready for a payment shock when those 2 years are up.
I mean, I think what you should do is get back in touch with them and say, look, if you're already trying to modify, will you be changing the terms to modify according to the new Obama plan? It's probably worth reaching out to them. But I would also kind of just talk to a local housing counselor who might be able to give you better information. I'm not sure the specifics of your particular loan, but I think it's probably worth saying, look, now that there's this better alternative out there, You know, are you going to be more accommodating in terms of the type of modification you'll be offering?
Nick, thanks for the call. I want to jump to Daryl in Missoula with a really good question based on the advice from a congresswoman from Ohio. Don't move out of your home until you get a copy of the loan doc. Is that right, Daryl?
Yes. I read it in our local paper today.
Yeah.
Called Produce the Note Strategy or something like that.
Yeah. Matthew or Andrew, what do you know about this? Because Amy Goodman wrote a piece about this, and it's very interesting. I think it's Marcy Kaptur of Ohio.
Yeah.
Who was saying stay in your home and demand that they produce the note.
Yeah. I mean, one of the really interesting things in sort of the way loans get sliced and diced, actually, is that in some cases it's sort of the chain of custody of who's got rights to your mortgage
right. Can
get awfully convoluted.
Yeah.
And so ultimately in a judicial bankruptcy, a judicial foreclosure circumstance, pretty much any foreclosure circumstance, you need to basically demonstrate that you have the lien on the property.
Right. I got to stop there, Andrew. Thank you very much. Good to talk with you. And Daryl, stay on the line. We've got a DVD for you, and I hope you get to stay in your home, okay?
Okay.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Next up, Detroit and the banks. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Here's what the president said as he signed the stimulus bill yesterday.
Today does mark the beginning of the end, the beginning of what we need to do to create jobs for Americans scrambling in the wake of layoffs.
That's what he said. Here's the part that Wall Street heard.
The beginning of the end.
Stocks tanked because investors need to see what happens to the banks and the auto industry. Here's the auto deal. The government loans them another $39 billion, and in return, they cut thousands of jobs and cut the benefits of the employees who remain. The mayor of Lansing, Michigan, Virgil Bernero, went ballistic on Fox.
Wall Street got billions of dollars, no strings attached. They haven't suffered one iota. And all we can talk about is how much more blood we can squeeze out of the turnip, how much more we can get out of the working person.
Well, if it's any consolation, Mr. Mayor, banks are in even worse shape. But it looks like the president will stop short of doing what more and more analysts, including free marketer Alan Greenspan, are saying he needs to do because Democrats are too afraid of the N-word. That word being... Well, let me let a Republican say it.
I would not take off the idea of nationalizing the banks.
Senator Lindsey Graham on ABC last Sunday. Democrat Charles Schumer was quick to make sure that nobody would think this was a Democratic idea.
I would not be for nationalizing.
But I sense a little good cop, bad cop here. The Republicans threatening to waterboard the banks, the Democrats being simply shocked by any such idea, but secretly loving the irony. Now this.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
Turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch!
Like morning exercise and taking silver.
Centrum Silver multivitamins are age-adjusted. They help protect your health as you age with key antioxidants and other nutrients that help protect the health of your heart, eyes, and bones.
Things have sure changed around here.
Age-adjusted Centrum Silver. Take along with a healthy diet and exercise. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays 3 to 5 p.m. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show, so please, if you tune in and hear basketball, listen in on Sundays from 3 to 5, The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Princess Monterey Whale Watching on Old Fisherman's Wharf in Monterey. Remember, if you hear basketball during my show on Saturday, tune in Sundays 3 to 5 for The Sheila Show. See ya.
Hello, KRXA listeners. This is Sylvia Waldrop Quarles, president of the Monterey County Branch NAACP. We're excited to announce our annual Life Membership Awards Dinner being held on Saturday, February 21st from 6 to 10 at the lovely Embassy Suites. KRXA's own Hal Ginsberg will be receiving the NAACP's Spirit of Partnership Award. Come to the dinner to show your support on February 21st. For tickets, call us at 394-3727. Tickets are $75 each. Again, call us at 394-3727. Yes, that's 394-3727.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come meet me in person this Friday, February 20th, at Luminana Books and Gifts in Monterey at 7:30 p.m. I'll be there giving a talk and book signing on my new guide, Understanding the Energy of Your Child. Come and learn about the different energy systems of children so you can better understand your child. Again, I will be there Friday, 7:30 p.m. You could call 333-1110 for more information. See you there.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Make me emperor for a day. In Peter B.'s America, there never would have been a Guantanamo. And we'd either charge those guys or release them. It's that simple in my book. And the Obama administration with a flourish said we're going to close Guantanamo. But a lot of recent efforts don't square with that. That's a song from Golden Earring called Twilight Zone. And in some cases, individuals who have been imprisoned at Guantanamo Bay for up to 7 years now, without being charged, without being tried, with no hope of freedom, they're in a twilight zone of epic proportions. And we thought, on day two, when Barack Obama signed those orders, ordering Gitmo to be closed, that we would see a substantial change. And as you've heard on this program, I'm deeply distressed that in the state secrets cases here in San Francisco, there is zero difference between the bizarre legal position asserted by the Bush administration and that sustained by lawyers who tell the court that they are authorized to speak for Eric Holder, the Attorney General, and Barack Obama, the new president, and that, yes, Your Honor, our positions are unchanged. Now, at Gitmo, there are some things going on that may be part of the ongoing process of closing it and shutting down the military tribunals. I can't say that I understand every move. So let's talk to Hina Shansi from the ACLU's National Security Project. She's a staff attorney. Hina, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Good to talk with you again.
It's a pleasure to be back, Peter.
So tell me, first of all, in the case of Mohammed Jawad, he is a man who was detained at about the age of 16. We think he's around 23 now. He was accused of tossing a grenade on the so-called battlefield in Afghanistan. And your efforts to represent him have run into some interesting obstacles. What is the current status of efforts to try Mr. Jawad under the old Bush military tribunal system?
Well, let me tell you that, Peter, but just to clarify a little bit, Mr. Jawad wasn't accused of throwing a grenade in the battlefield. It was actually in a marketplace in Kabul.
Okay.
So I just wanted to get that out there. But
very good.
The current status of the military commissions is that they've been halted. They were halted. It was one of the first things that President Obama did upon taking office, which was to instruct Secretary of Defense Gates to seek a 120-day stay in every one of the military commission cases. Now, the administration sought that stay in Mr. Jawad's case, which was actually at rather an interesting point in the proceedings, because his case, as you may know, is one where both the decision to detain as well as the decision to prosecute is based on torture-derived evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you a little bit more about that. When Mr. Jawad was picked up, and by the way, there were adults picked up around him, but those adults were never turned over to U.S. forces. We don't know what became of them, but when he was picked up, he was picked up by Afghan police. And you've got to understand, this is a kid who grew up in an Afghan refugee camp in Pakistan. He's functionally illiterate and was picked up and held by a number of adults at the Ministry of Interior in Kabul, surrounded by high-level officials and police officers, many of whom were armed, and told that if he didn't confess to the grenade attack, he would be killed and his family would be killed.
Mm-hmm.
So the Afghan authorities obtained a false confession from him. It's a document in a language that he doesn't speak, read, or write. And based on that confession, or so-called confession, turned him over to U.S. forces. Now, the military judge in the case against Mr. Jawad found that that so-called confession was the product of torture, and the U.S. has disavowed that piece of evidence. But they claim that alleged confessions that Mr. Jawad provided to U.S. authorities within hours of being threatened with death by Afghan authorities are not the product of coercion, even though in the military commissions there was testimony that the interrogators were using tactics to cause shock and awe and fear during the time that they were interrogating him. The administration then, the judge, the military judge, suppressed both the confessions to the U.S. authorities as well as the confessions, alleged confessions to the Afghan authorities, saying that they were torture-derived. The administration appealed the suppression decision with respect to U.S. authorities to the newly created Military Commission's Appeals Court. That military court was asked to stay its decision, not to rule, and instead to put a hold on commission proceedings for 120 days.
Mm-hmm.
It recently issued an order and said, okay, we're going to issue the stay, but we're doing this in part because we think that the prejudice to Mr. Jawad of the stay, and they referred to it as the excessive detention of 6 years that he's been subjected to, that that prejudice is going to be mitigated by the fact that he has a habeas case in federal court that he can pursue, and the government's required to produce documents by February 27th justifying its detention decision. Despite that, in federal court, the habeas case, the government has taken the position that because military commission proceedings are ongoing, the court ought to put the habeas case on hold or dismiss it altogether while those commissions play out.
Now, this sounds like Catch-22 squared.
And, yes, you've got the essentials out of all of that.
And, you know, what I'm trying to figure out here, is there anything in this that would play to the advantage of Mr. Jawad and win him either a straight-up prosecution in a federal court in the United States or his freedom?
Well, let me address both of those things, Peter. The likelihood that he would be prosecuted in a federal court in the United States is slim to none, I would say, and I base that on the words of his former prosecutor, who investigated the case for over a year, worked on it to put together the prosecution in the military commissions, and says, and I quote, that there is no credible evidence or legal basis to detain or prosecute Mr. Jawad.
Mm-hmm.
So if that was the determination by someone who described himself as a true believer in the context of the military commissions, which, as you know, don't have due process protections and have far more lax rules on evidence, including permitting evidence obtained through coercion, then surely prosecution in the federal court is you know, something that the court would throw out.
Mm-hmm.
The only real option here is that the administration needs to withdraw charges against him, and he needs to be released. And if they're not going to do that, then he needs to be able to challenge his detention in federal court through habeas.
Mm-hmm. Now, in these two different cases where there's kind of a Three Stooges game going on, the tribunals pointing at the habeas case and the habeas pointing at the tribunals, who wins? Because this is uncharted territory, isn't it?
Well, you know, I think that it's not actually uncharted, except that the administration seems to be making it so. And let me back up a little bit with something, just to give you a bit of background on the motion that the government filed. We filed our petition, an amended petition on behalf of Mr. Jawad in early January. And just 2 days after the government received that filing, it moved to dismiss Mr. Jawad's case. And the day that it moved to dismiss Mr. Jawad's case was the last working day of the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
And we have since then asked the administration twice, once President Obama took office, we've asked the administration twice to withdraw the motion, saying, first, you know, President Obama just signed this executive order, and surely there's no basis for this motion. Please withdraw. And we were told that the government is considering its position. And then the second time, after the military appeals court practically invited the federal court to continue with habeas, we said, you know, now you've got the military court's decision. Will you withdraw? And we're told that the government is still considering its position. And, you know, I do think that the new administration may have the best intentions in reviewing Guantanamo detentions and wanting to avoid the many and terrible mistakes of the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
But in this situation here, the law applicable to the detention of Mr. Jawad hasn't changed, and nor have the facts in his case. And we're simply not aware of any historical context in which the executive branch took upon itself and asked the judiciary to approve, you know, the authority to declare sort of a constitutional timeout to decide how it wants to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in a case like Mr. Jawad's, which has been investigated, prosecution prepared, there's no basis for a delay. This case needs to continue.
Mm-hmm. And so, Hina, what are you and the ACLU asking these courts to do? What explicitly would you like to see happen with Mr. Jawad's case?
We're asking the court explicitly to reject the government's motion and to proceed expeditiously with the habeas proceeding, which requires the government to produce by February 27th, as soon as possible, the factual basis it has for continuing to detain Mr. Jawad.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, obviously, we're asking for release. And, you know, we have on our website, actually, Mr. Jawad's former prosecutor filed a rather extraordinary document. It's 14 pages long.
This is Daryl Vandeveld?
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Lieutenant Colonel, and he's a former military prosecutor at Guantanamo. I've seen him, I think he was on with Keith Olbermann a month or so ago, and I really commend him for his courage in challenging the very system that he was operating under.
Well, and he described himself as a true believer, and Peter, you're absolutely right about commending him for his courage and, quite frankly, for his honor. You
mm-hmm.
know, when the people at the top in the military chain of command did not have enough trust in their institution, their personnel, to believe that when abiding by traditional American values and the Constitution would lead to the truth and justice, then people like Lieutenant Colonel Vandeveld came forward and said, you know, I believe, and I cannot continue acting in this way, which goes against my ethics. This is a man who sought to negotiate a plea agreement because he thought that there was no way that his supervisors would agree to simply withdrawing the charges, but even that was rejected
mm-hmm.
by his supervisors.
And what are some of the most important or significant things that Lieutenant Colonel Vandeveld states in this document?
Well, he states a number of really quite extraordinary things, actually. He talks about the fact that the military commission system and its process for obtaining and storing and producing evidence is utterly chaotic. He talks about the fact that things like exculpatory evidence, evidence that would tend to show the innocence of the accused, is sometimes found only by sheer happenstance. And he also found that, specifically in Mr. Jawad's case, there was government evidence that showed that he was, in fact, tortured and coerced in U.S. custody. He talks about the fact that Mr. Jawad was subjected to what is called the frequent flyer program, sort of
sure.
terrible euphemism, if ever there was one,
mm-hmm.
Where, you know, for a period of 2 weeks, he was moved 112 times every 3 or 4 hours in order to deprive him of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a mere, you know, few months after Mr. Jawad had tried to commit suicide as a result of his ongoing detention and treatment.
Yeah.
One of the other,
subhuman and barbaric. Those are just two words I'd like to add. Go ahead.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, one of the things that, Lieutenant Colonel Vandervelt says that I thought was just so, you know, I sort of stopped and had to read it again when I first read his declaration, was his belief that, Mr. Jawad presents no threat to the United States. And if you don't mind, I just would like to read you just a couple of sentences that he says.
Why don't you hold those till after the break? And I need to do that, and then we'll come back, and you can read those for us and help us understand a little more. Hina Shansi is with us from the ACLU's National Security Project. If you have a question or comment about the case of Muhammad Jawad or others detained at Guantanamo, give us a call now, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Monterey, we have a pedestrian in the roadway on the northbound one just south of Iris Canyon Road. Also on the southbound one just south of Highway 156, we have a traffic hazard. Watch out for the empty bin in the number one lane. Taking a look at the Hollister-Gilroy area, there's a traffic hazard on the northbound 101 just north of Bernal Road. There's some debris in the roadway, so be careful there. In weather, it's partly sunny out. We've got some clouds moving in. Temperature highs in the low 60s to upper 50s. Right now in Monterey, it's 57 degrees. In Salinas, it's 61 degrees. In Santa Cruz, it's 56 degrees. Well, that's your AM 540 traffic and weather. Have a fantastic afternoon, everyone. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 9 minutes in front of the hour. This is a song about Australia and the Aborigines, but I apply it to Guantanamo. Let's give it back. Let's give it back to Cuba. Let's hear it back. We're talking with Attorney Hina Shansi with the ACLU's National Security Project. And just before the break, she was getting ready to read us a couple of quotes from the statement by Lieutenant Colonel Daryl Vandeveld. He is a former prosecutor in the military commissions there, the Kangaroo Courts at Guantanamo. And go ahead, Hina. What did you have to quote from there?
Well, Lieutenant Colonel Vandeveld served in both Afghanistan and Iraq, and here he is talking about why he thinks that my client should be released. He says, had I been returned to Afghanistan or Iraq, and had I encountered Mohammed Jawad in either of those hostile lands where two of my friends have been killed in action and another one of my very best friends in the world had been terribly wounded, I have no doubt at all, none, that Mr. Jawad would pose no threat whatsoever to me, his former prosecutor and now repentant persecutor. 6 years is long enough for a boy of 16 to serve in virtual solitary confinement in a distant land for reasons he may never fully understand.
Yeah, but Dick Cheney says it's in the tropics. As if that, you know, as if it's a Club Med.
As if people have gone there voluntarily.
Yeah, yeah. That's amazing, Hina. Now, one of the other cases that we've been following through your colleagues at the ACLU revolves around these Chinese Muslims called Uyghurs, and it's an odd spelling, U-I-G-H-U-I-R-S, I think. And the federal district court judge, Ricardo Urbina, in December, I believe, issued an order saying, bring them to my courtroom so I can release them. And he has American host families who are willing to take these people. They have been declared flatly innocent of any wrongdoing, any terrorism connection. Yet they remain in limbo at Guantanamo because the Court of Appeal in Washington, D.C., a very conservative bench, has ruled that immigration law trumps the very fundamental human rights that these individuals have to be free of unlawful detention. And so they've created this new hurdle where they're saying that Judge Urbina didn't have the right to order these people freed into the United States because he didn't have permission from ICE, the Immigration Division of Homeland Security.
It's a terrible decision.
And is this simply, you know, the old guard closing ranks? It seems like such a bizarre technicality to deny freedom based on, you know, failure to jump through an immigration hoop.
Well, I think it's, you know, very simply put, the court recognizes that these men are being detained illegally, but it does nothing about it. It says they have rights, but it refuses to recognize a remedy. And, you know, I think that this is a really It's a decision that steps backwards into the Bush administration's unlawful Guantanamo policies, and I think that this decision really just underscores how important it is that the Obama administration acts quickly to dismantle the national security policies that the previous administration had and to close Guantanamo altogether. And the Obama administration can actually make the decision to let the Uyghurs into this country to be exactly what you were talking about, you know, with their host families as an entire structure of support that has been set up by the lawyers for these men as well as community members that is ready, willing, and able to welcome them back. And remember, these are men that the U.S. government does not consider enemy combatants.
Right.
The government does not consider to have done harm to the United States. And one other sort of very negative aspect of this is that to the extent the administration is now asking for allies to help the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
close down Guantanamo, it sends the worst possible and the most negative message if the U.S. itself does not accept people who are even like these Uyghurs who do not present a threat to the United States and were never enemy combatants against the United States.
So, Hannah, I'm trying to understand from the perspective of Eric Holder, the new attorney general, just been on the job 2 weeks, and the newbies in the Obama administration. I think I know what their intentions are, but so many recent actions don't square with those intentions. Are they simply trying to buy time to come up with a cohesive strategy here, or are we being duped? Have we been played that this flourish of closing Guantanamo was just a photo op?
Well, you know, it's always a difficult thing to read minds, and as a lawyer, I've learned not to do it. But one of the things I think we need to recognize straight off the bat is that there is no moral equivalence between the Bush administration and the Obama administration. The Obama administration came in and in its first couple of days started fulfilling some of President Obama's campaign promises. That said, you are correct. The signals since then have been mixed. And I think that the issue now is to make sure that the administration knows and understands that what the promises were are the acts to fulfill the promises made are what they will be judged by.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, Hannah, thank you for your work. Thank you for your excellent explanations of these complicated legal issues. And you keep on fighting.
Thank you, Peter. Pleasure to be with you.
All right. Thank you. That is Hannah. I got to get it right here. Hannah Shansi, S-H-A-N-S-I, from the ACLU's National Security Team. Thank you for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the Internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the Internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your Internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Obama chose Arizona, one of the state's hardest hit by foreclosures, to unveil his plan to help prevent that dreaded visit from the sheriff. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer has details.
The $75 billion plan is aimed at stemming the foreclosure problem. President Obama hopes it will keep up to 9 million people from losing their homes. But his message was also aimed at people who are not caught in the mortgage squeeze.
In the end, all of us are paying a price for this home mortgage crisis. And all of us will pay an even steeper price if we allow this crisis to continue to deepen.
The plan includes provisions aimed at easing refinancing for people who owe more on their mortgages than their homes are worth. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Mesa, Arizona.
This is a step in the right direction.
Lawrence Yoon is chief economist at the National Association of Realtors.
Families who are burdened with large mortgage payments, they will get relief. For the homeowners, they will see price stabilization much sooner. And also for the nation's home buyers, knowing that prices will soon stabilize, it gives confidence for home buyers to enter the market.
Diane Swank, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago, says just slowing the foreclosure rate is important.
We're not adding insult to injury by putting more empty homes on the market, and that's very important to sowing the seeds for recovery.
Despite all the government's efforts and promises to do even more, the Federal Reserve says the economy will get worse before it gets better.
The Fed's newest economic outlook is worse than the last, with forecast growth negative this year, minus 0.5 to minus 0.3%, and unemployment rising. In a National Press Club speech, Fed Chair Ben Bernanke put it this way.
Recent economic statistics have been dismal.
But Bernanke made a pledge.
The Federal Reserve has done and will continue to do everything possible within the limits of our authority to assist in restoring our nation to financial stability and economic prosperity.
With the slow economy, the Fed expects low inflation for some time. John Hartshey, CBS News, Washington.
The legendary secret Swiss bank account might be a thing of the past, the result of a settlement with the Justice Department. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis explains.
Federal prosecutors have pierced the secrecy of Swiss banking in a landmark deal with UBS, the largest bank in Switzerland. The bank admits that it helped 17,000 Americans hide some $20 billion in assets from the Internal Revenue Service. While the bank will pay almost $800 million in fines, the Justice Department and the IRS will get what they want most, the names of thousands of American account holders who thought they could evade detection forever.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, a Roman Catholic who supports abortion rights, had an audience with Pope Benedict today. The Vatican, which allowed no coverage of the events, says the Pope told Pelosi that Catholic politicians have a duty to protect life at all stages of development. The Dow eked out a 3-point gain today. This is CBS News.
Here's a little tip for all you travelers out there. There's no better souvenir than a free night. Just stay twice at Econo Lodge, Roadway Inn, or any Choice Hotel, and you'll earn a free night at up to 1,500 hotels through the Choice Privileges Rewards Program. That's right, free, as in on the house. I mean, on the hotel. So make your travel budget go further with Econo Lodge or Roadway Inn at 800-4-CHOICE or choicehotels.com.
Free night requires 6,000 or 8,000 points. Requires 2 stays booked at choicehotels.com or 800-4-CHOICE. Valid 25 through 4309. Details at choicehotels.com.
People are feeling it a little more these days. The ows are getting a little more owier, and the uggs are getting just a little uglier. Shoulders and necks are tighter, and when you exercise to work it all out, the soreness can linger. Tiger Balm feels your pain. Stress can make you ache and ugh. Tiger Balm patches and ointments work fast, and they're the powerful way to conquer pain, no matter where it comes from. Go from ow to ah with Tiger Balm. Works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
It's hard to sell houses in this economy, so a real estate agent in Portland, Oregon, allegedly decided to make himself at home. Tim Hold of station KPAM has the story.
Don Kusky says he came home from a business trip to find a car in his driveway and his front door unlocked.
Open the door, I walk in the house, and I said, hello.
That's when 41-year-old Michael Messmer appeared, shoes off and drink in hand.
I look at the guy and I said, so you always, like, bring a cocktail when you show a house?
Kusky shooed Messmer and his lady friend out of his house, but he turned up a couple of days later at another home for sale, using his passcode to open the lockbox, then raiding the liquor cabinet and trying to steal a Sony PlayStation, perfume, shaving cream, air freshener, and even a pair of nose hair trimmers. Tim Hull for CBS News, Portland, Oregon.
A Canadian hauling cattle into Washington state apparently thought border agents wouldn't look too carefully beneath the manure, but they x-rayed his rig and found nearly a ton of marijuana. The man told investigators he was paid $20,000 to make the trip. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
It's a different world out there today, so it's good to know there are some things you can count on, like the quality of a Honda. Honda has the most durable, long-lasting line of cars in its class, which is one reason Honda can continue to offer affordable leasing when some other auto manufacturers can't. Honda. Simple. Go to shophonda.com to build and price your own Accord. Durability based on longevity. Longevity based on Arlo Polk & Company U.S. Vehicles and Operation Registration Statistics 1988 through 2007 for Honda and competing models.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires, your brakes, your battery, your oil and filter, your fluid levels, and your belts and hoses.
Would you check us, please?
Okay, okay, I'm on my way to the Ford dealer now for the Works Fuel Saver package. You'll all get checked or tested or changed or rotated or filled.
Ooh, filled is good.
For just $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Woohoo! I love this guy!
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for rebate details through 33109.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show Free Speed Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome, and you know the rules, they barely exist. Any subject, any viewpoint, call me from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We pay for the call. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Right, Blondie? You can call me from Eureka, you can call me from Monterey, you can call me from wherever you happen to be. And just so you know, our new affiliate in Missoula carries the first 2 hours of the program, but not this final hour. So people from Missoula don't call in during this hour in the free speech zone generally unless they switch over to the stream online. And you can do that, too. By the way, we are doing an experiment today that is working out pretty well. And so tomorrow we hope to make the formal announcement of a huge expansion in our streaming capabilities. And that means that thousands of people will be able to click on and listen to the Peter B. Collins Show on their computers. You can even do it through an iPhone now, and there are other ways to hook up as well. But we will announce that tomorrow after we do a little inspection of the software at the end of the show today. But it appears that the system is working, and so we're very excited about that. Well, we've talked about a lot of things today, the media's bizarre coverage of the stimulus package and the phony issue of the salt marsh harvest mouse in San Francisco. We talked about interesting new developments in green building materials, windows, doors, and drywall, with Kevin Cerace of Serious Materials. And we struck a chord, a lot of people with mortgage problems, when we talked about the Obama Housing Recovery Plan, now amped up to $75 billion. And it's a start, and it seems like a very reasonable program. But I don't believe we're addressing the most significant underlying issues of the huge amount of these bad mortgages that are the economic virus at the core of our problems right now. And we also talked last half hour with Hina Shamsi from the ACLU about the situation at Guantanamo Bay. And we have yet to touch on what I think is the most important story of the day. It was buried at the bottom of page A8 in my San Francisco comical when I picked it up this morning. And I believe that this is a fateful decision that Barack Obama has made. And I think it's a huge mistake. This is the announcement that the president has approved, adding 17,000 more American troops in Afghanistan. 8,000 Marines expected to go first, followed by an Army brigade of about 4,000 troops and 5,000 support forces. That will bring our count of boots on the ground in Afghanistan up to, 47,000. No strategy has been articulated. No plan has been announced about what these additional American forces will do and how their deployment will strengthen the Karzai government in Kabul, will help defeat the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and there are other Islamic extremist militant groups in that fuzzy area between Afghanistan and Pakistan. And I know Obama made this as a campaign pledge. He was the anti-Iraq war candidate who didn't want to appear to be against all war. Polling showed that most Americans see Afghanistan as the good war, the justified war, the one that was a response to 9/11. I don't quite share that, but I understand the perception. And Obama played to that perception. And I think it was critical in helping him get elected and fending off the attacks from the Republican right, to the effect that every Democrat is soft on war, soft on terrorism, and therefore unelectable at a time like this. So I understand the politics of the origins of this pledge. But Obama's had almost a month now in office to absorb briefings, intelligence, advice, and counsel. And we know that when he made his first trip to the Pentagon and talked to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he asked point blank, what do you see as the end game in Afghanistan? And the Joint Chiefs cleared their throats and said, well, Mr. President, we don't know. We've just been following orders, and the orders weren't coherent. There never has been a plan. And Bush lost interest in Afghanistan 6 months after we got there. That's all he cared about was invading Iraq. They diverted illegally $750 million of money earmarked for Afghanistan into the planning and pre-deployment logistics for the invasion of Iraq. We know that they had Osama at Tora Bora in 2002. We didn't get him. And so I think that this is a day that we must remember, and a day that we must remind people of. President Obama didn't have to do this. He could have reconsidered. He could have said, you know, I've talked to the Joint Chiefs, and Richard Holbrooke is in the field there, and he just sent me a confidential cable saying, Mr. President, don't do this now. Let's talk when I get back. There are a lot of different ways that Obama could have handled this. And instead, he's going forward based on a campaign promise. 17,000 more Americans in Afghanistan. And there is no evidence presented to the American people or to our elected leaders that there is a military solution in Afghanistan. It is an ungovernable nation ruled by warlords who are loyal to the last person who paid them or allowed their opium to be shipped. I hope you'll think about this, and I appreciate any reaction you have. And if you disagree with me, I know we've got a lot of great military minds who listen to this program in Monterey, at the language school, the postgraduate school. I'd love to hear a well-informed opposing view about why we need to put 17,000 more American troops in Afghanistan. I'd love to hear a compelling argument. And I've heard none. And finally, the media started to come around in the last few weeks, started raising questions, started promoting the voices of people raising questions about this knee-jerk plan to put more Americans in Afghanistan. And for a moment there, we kind of thought that Obama was reconsidering. Maybe we should be happy it's only 17,000 additional troops. But these poor guys and a few gals have been in Iraq. And instead of bringing them home, they're being deployed on a new front without a mission, without a clear goal, and without a frickin' exit strategy. Let's go to Biz in Montana. Hello, Biz. Thanks for calling in.
How about that, Peter?
It's great to talk to you. You've been sending me emails. I know you've been listening online and podcasts or whatever, have you?
Well, I attempt to listen on the radio here, but the reception out here in the country where I live isn't so great.
Yeah, you're a few miles outside of Missoula?
We are.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, west of Missoula. Not very far, but somehow it doesn't seem to get here very well. I just wanted to tell you that I have been in contact with Dave Cowan over the last several weeks, actually, or months, and I have been encouraging him to get you on the radio here, and I am absolutely thrilled.
Well, you get an agent's commission. You get 10% of what they're paying me, which
is that right?
Unfortunately is nothing.
Oh, well, I don't want to know that.
No, that's the way it works. The station doesn't pay us to carry the program. They clear our commercials, and we get paid by advertisers.
Oh, well, if that's the case, then all well and good.
Yeah.
The important thing, Peter, is that your excellent program is on here, and I am thrilled that the local people here are going to be able to hear the important issues that you cover.
Well, thank you, Biz, and we're already getting great calls from people in Missoula who are listening on AM 930, and I'm delighted. So we're going to be on every weekday now from 4 to 6 Mountain Time. There's still a Saturday outing on, I think, at 11 a.m., and so I'm very pleased. Thanks to Dave Cowan, and thanks to the listeners in Missoula. I had a great time when I was out there last May, and Nancy Walton, my friend, took me up to Flathead Lake.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be back there in May for the International Wildlife Film Festival, so I'm very pleased.
You'll have to get sailing up on Flathead, Peter.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
You know, we found a winery on Flathead Lake that makes a pretty nice little Pinot Noir.
It is very good.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah. We've had some of their wine ourselves. So, and I think I told you in the past when I've talked to you that I'm a sailor too.
Yeah.
I don't have a boat. I have had a boat on Flathead actually for a whole summer. Not at this point in time, but there are much bigger boats up there than I had.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't argue with you. I agree with you about all the disappointment that there's been with Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Some good, really good things, I think. Some environmental things that are very important to me.
Yeah, and I want to be really clear. I still support the president. I voted for him. I want him to succeed. But, you know, I think it's important for us to be critical from the left and not just have him respond to criticism from the right.
Absolutely. And I have too many friends who are still of the opinion that they want to wait and see.
Yeah.
Well, while they're waiting to see, Peter, some very important and very dangerous things are happening.
Right, including Afghanistan, and I hope people will keep an eye on that. Thank you, Biz.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the warm welcome to Missoula.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
Biz Taylor. Been corresponding for a while, and I'm delighted to talk to her ear to ear. We'll take a break and return to more of your phone calls. The Free Speech Zone underway. 888-5-PETER-B. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Tomorrow Matters is back on air Sundays from 10 to 11 a.m.
Green Talk Radio for the Central Coast.
I'm Deborah Lindsay.
And I'm Spencer Lindsay.
Join us as we dazzle you with local solutions to environmental issues.
We'll be talking about things like climate change,
green building,
alternative energy and transportation,
water conservation,
organic farming,
and bicycles,
and a whole lot more.
Join us on KRXA 540 AM, Sunday mornings at 10.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LaCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831 818 4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LaCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Hunt, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
It's the Otters in a midweek game Wednesday, the 18th at San Francisco State University. It's a must win here on KRXA 540.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In Santa Cruz, there's a two-vehicle collision on Clubhouse Drive at Dorsey Avenue, and CHP is on the scene there. Otherwise, traffic is looking pretty good, so I hope you have a great commute this evening. In weather, our forecast for the Tri-County area tonight is partly cloudy with lows in the lower 40s and southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. It looks like we're going to get a break with the rain. Thursday will be sunny, and we'll have highs in the mid-60s. Friday also looks great with clear and sunny skies and highs in the 60s as well. All right, that's your KRXA traffic and weather. Have a wonderful evening, and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up in just a few minutes, our official movie reviewer, Gary Chu, is going to run down the Oscars for us.
She's in, new sensation, new kicks in the candlelight. She's got a new addiction for every day and night. She makes you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain.
More of your calls in a moment here in the Free Speech Zone. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. But the hotline just flashed. And our in-depth undercover low-budget investigative reporter, Tommy Panic, is on the line. We understand he's in the 202 area code that places him in Washington, D.C. And he's a big fan of reality television. And I've been told he's got some tips for us on Sarah Palin's tax problems. Tommy Panic, take it away.
I'm actually just outside the Beltway, and you mentioned Palin. If this were Joe Biden, the sanctimonious right would be slobbering all over themselves, working themselves into a lather. But, yeah, the story has come out that Sarah Palin, and you remember her, the woman whose breasts John McCain couldn't take his eyes off of, she'll have to pay some back taxes on the per diems she received while hanging out at home.
I thought it was going to be for all the lipsticks she bought for those pigs.
No, hanging out at home in the, in Wasilla, the OxyContin, aka hillbilly heroin capital of the universe.
Right.
She thought she was just being mavericky, but, and we're not sure exactly the total amount owed at this time, but we've heard that she hopes to pay it off in both moose and wolf meat. And, Peter, the wolf meat is pretty fresh. She and husband Todd spent their Valentine's Day slaughtering wolf.
Really? Out on the snow machines?
Pretty romantic, isn't it? But I mean, don't you think if politicians and appointees from both parties, I mean, the people in Washington, elected officials at all levels across this great land of ours, if they simply paid their taxes, maybe we wouldn't be in the financial mess that we're in.
Yeah.
I mean, Daschle, Geithner, Kilfer. Should I keep going?
No.
No, I don't think so. This brings me, though, to
Roland. I mean, next you're going to tell me that H&R Block haven't paid their taxes.
No, it wouldn't be too surprising, though. But Roland Burris, no tax problems that we know of yet. But, the guy that so strongly pled his case.
Sure.
He played the race card for Obama's Senate seat in Illinois.
Right.
Eventually being appointed by Rob Blagojevich, the guy with the hair that was eventually led away in handcuffs for trying to sell that appointment. You honestly have to wonder about anyone who would even want to be associated with Blagojevich, the criminal and the corrupt. We know power is pretty intoxicating. quite a shock, though, isn't it? A politician from Illinois who lies. Burris now says he did agree to make an effort to raise campaign funds for Blagojevich at the same time Burris was trying to get Blagojevich to appoint him to the Senate.
And this is the fifth position he has taken, and he claims that they're all consistent.
Yeah, that's a big whoops right there. I guess Burris should have mentioned that up front, but don't worry. I love his quote, too, that came out today. I welcome the opportunity to go before any and all investigative bodies to answer any questions they have. It actually sounds like Blago.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was thinking about this. There could be a reality TV show where the goal is finding an honest politician from the great state of Illinois, other than our rookie commander-in-chief, the anointed one, of course.
Yeah.
But that is the story from just outside the Beltway. I am now headed to Moyock, North Carolina, and this could be good TV, where I'll be trying out as a mercenary for Xi, spelled X-E, the former Blackwater, kind of Philip Morris-like, changing its name to Altria. We still troll for new addicts. We like the kids. But we do it with a new, cool, friendlier-sounding name. But, Peter, I will have that full story exclusively for you. And that's coming soon.
All right. Well, if you want your expenses paid, bring back a Z or Xi, whatever they say, baseball cap. Then we'll know you were really there.
Deal.
Okay. Thank you, Tommy Panic.
Thank you.
There he is, the one and only in-depth undercover and very low-budget investigative reporter who is exclusive to the Peter B. Collins Show. That is Tommy Panic. Not enough time for another phone call here, so if you're on the line, stay there. We'll get to you right after the break. And a little bit later, Gary Chu is going to join us and talk about the Oscars coming up on Sunday night. Between us, we've seen most of the major films, but he knows more than I do. So we're going to have some fun with that, and you're welcome to chime in, too. My toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Catch the podcasts and, coming soon, expanded streaming, all that at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
If you transfer your IRAs, 401ks, or any retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, and $700,000 becomes $770,000. My name is Stephen DeJohn, president of the DeJohn Advisory Team. I was on the cover of Senior Market Advisor magazine because I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. With securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your broker or banker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 866-515-6669 to receive your free video and brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup at one of our nationwide locations. Call 866-515-6669. It's a new year and it's time for change. Call 866-515-6669.
Is your child misunderstood? Are you frustrated with the medical and educational systems? Do others misinterpret the energy of your child? Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Through the power of intuition, I can help you. Schedule a session to learn more. Sign up for my newsletter to receive free information every month. Educate yourself through my books and articles. Visit intuitiveteachings.com or call me, Jennifer Cruz, at 831-233-8388.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. As President Obama signs his economic recovery package into law, here's a look back at the media's many ridiculous attacks that muddied the public debate.
This is just a total, colossal disaster for the Obama White House.
The political equivalent of Hillary Clinton's health care bill.
You can just feel this thing losing popularity.
A multi-billion dollar payday for Acorn.
Blatantly using the politics of fear.
I call it welfare.
We were in worse shape in 1939 than we were in 1929.
The European Socialist Act of 2009.
Total all-out socialist bill.
One giant leap towards socialism in the United States.
There may be Newsweek is right. Maybe socialism is upon us.
It seems all too often the media lets politics get in the way of an accurate and honest assessment of the president's plan. For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath.
Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I have the dubious honor and distinct pleasure of keeping people up all night in San Francisco and Portland and elsewhere around the globe. And thank you. Thank you for your devotion. And I want to thank all the people who've said nice things about me on the green960.com blog in San Francisco. As you know, there's some changes afoot in the progressive talk universe, and I'm angling for promotions everywhere I can, in Portland, Seattle, in San Francisco, and anybody who's not currently carrying the show live, we're encouraging them to pick it up, because there are openings on the schedule with the shuffle of Rachel Maddow and the bankruptcy at Nova M, which has taken Randy Rhodes and presumably Mike Malloy off the air. And so there is a lot going on, and any support you want to offer is welcome. I won't tell you what to type, but you know how to do it. Green960.com, and look for the blog there. We'll go to Gary Chu in just a moment and give you a rundown on Sunday's Oscar Awards. But first, it's Robert in Daly City. Hi, Robert.
Good morning, Peter.
There we go. I've got you. I had the wrong fader up, but I've got you now. Go right ahead.
You're a shameless self-promoter, Peter, and I like it.
Well, we have to do what we can because our promotion budget, well, it's waiting for a stimulus package.
It's a seat of the pants operation. I understand it.
Yeah.
Well, you wanted an explanation for this Afghanistan thing, and I'm going to give it to you.
Okay, good.
Project for a New American Century, the neocon plan. Zbigniew Brzezinski, this thick-accented, knuckle-dragging reptile that hangs out in subterranean Washington like a lot of these other guys over decades, came up with a book. He's great at writing books, and one of the books that he wrote is called The Grand Chessboard in 97, and in that book, he lays out America's strategy in the 21st century, where they're going to take over Eurasia, that is Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran. Iran is surrounded now. And they're going to project military force in that region so that they can control the resources and the labor markets in Asia in the 21st century. And there's been so much blood and treasure spent in this endeavor that that's what Obama is perpetuating for the interlocking corporate directorships of the United States, these multinational corporations.
But let me push back. I do understand PNAC, and yes, it was broader than Iraq. But even a PNAC nutcase can't imagine that there's any benefit to the United States in a long-term occupation of Afghanistan. The lessons are legion.
Of a Philadelphia every month in China and putting a pipeline, trade routes, pipeline to Israel and all the way out to China. And American corporations are going to secure those trade routes for China. And so the corporations are going to 20% per year, allegedly, China's growing. So they're the growth rate. So the thing is that they want to control the wild, wild Mideast and run that whole scenario. And that's this whole thing, a lot of people think of this terrorism issue. There's nothing new. If you see the War on Democracy by Australian John Filger, Dwayne Claridge in the 1980s, who ran that South American terror thing that
the CIA
and the Argentinians did, that kind of stuff. And E. Howard Hunt, a guy who was in Watergate burglar, allegedly Bay of Pigs guy, ran the Mexico City station, chief of the CIA. Some people think was involved in killing President Kennedy. Both of them were in that film. Two of the CIA's finest sociopaths, okay? The arrogance and the chauvinism just drips off these guys. So what I'm getting at is there's nothing new in the modus operandi of what's going on. And their intention, I mean, I honestly think that they just pick somebody, qualify them to do their agenda, and then we get to vote on them. So Obama may be a kinder, gentler guy than Bush was, but I honestly think that they're still going to push in this direction because that's the big goal, this entropical goal to control oil. God, America's God, guns, oil, and drugs. And that's the issue. We need to get off oil and get into
and just get everybody on poppies,
solar thermal, and that kind of stuff.
All right, Robert, thank you very much. I appreciate you offering that point of view today. 38 minutes into the hour, Gary Chu is the official film reviewer for the Peter B. Collins Show, and he rides that for all it's worth. They give him free movie tickets.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes a DVD screener.
Yeah.
Gary, how you doing today?
Oh, Peter B., I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
You having a pre-Oscar moment there?
Pre-Oscar.
Getting your tuxedo out and the shiny black shoes?
Yeah, I'm going to sit in my easy chair all dressed up and with a cocktail and watch him Sunday night, I think.
Well,
actually, I need to tell you ahead of time there are some of these films I haven't seen that were some of the big films.
Oh, save your confession.
Okay.
Save it till we get there.
Because
I haven't seen them all either, and we'll just fumble through the ones we do know and speculate on the others.
Okay, you want me to tell you who I think is going to win the best Oscar for the best leading actor?
Well, I was going to start with the women because I'm a chauvinist pig, and I thought that would be more fun. So actress in a leading role, the nominees are Anne Hathaway for Rachel Getting Married, Angelina Jolie for Changeling, I've seen that, Melissa Leo for Frozen River, Meryl Streep for Doubt, and Kate Winslet for The Reader, which I just saw last weekend. So I've seen two of the five, and I thought that Kate Winslet was magnificent in The Reader, but I also thought that Angelina Jolie did an excellent job in Changeling. I have a bias against her, and so she won me over. I thought she
That's pretty good.
I thought she played that role very effectively.
I thought she was great in the first film she was in that she won the Oscar for. Many years ago with the gal from Petaluma. I can't remember the title of it right now.
Yeah, and the gal from Petaluma, her name escapes me. She got busted for shoplifting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, Angelina Jolie's an excellent actress. I did not see the Changeling. That's one of them. I think Kate Winslet's the best for the year. I'll back up. She will probably win.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Anne Hathaway in Rachel Getting Married has the best role of all women that I've seen this year so far.
And did you like that film? Did you think it was pretty good? I haven't seen it yet.
Yes, I liked it, but I didn't like it as well as The Reader or Doubt. I thought it was a good film, but it's a very independent type of film, and it kind of meanders in some places. But it's very powerful. It's very strong. I don't like to say chick flick.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know, I'm trying to get to it as quick as I can.
Mm-hmm.
An honorable mention as far as other women, Peter B., that really aren't even in the running are Kristen Scott Thomas for the French film I've Loved You So Long.
Okay.
And also a woman who supports her in that film as well, plays her sister. Her name is, let me get to my notes here. Elsa Zilberstein, who plays the sister of Scott Thomas in that film. That's a good film.
Mm-hmm.
You might like it.
Okay.
I think that Meryl Streep is quite good, of course. However, I thought she overplayed the nun just a bit in the film. I thought she went over a little bit too overboard, whereas Seymour Hoffman and Amy played it a little easier in their roles as the other as the priest and the other nun.
Mm-hmm.
But a good film and a good play.
Yeah, haven't seen either yet, and they are on my list. My mom said that she really liked both the play, and she thought the film was pretty good in relation to the stage show. So that's what I heard about that. Rocky, pipe down. Having a little trouble with the pooch here today. He's really active. And Frozen River, that's an unknown to me. Have you seen that one, Gary?
Well, I haven't. I heard Melissa Leo talk on the air some. She's a very interesting woman. I will try to pick up on that one. I had some health problems during some of these films, and I wasn't able to get out to see all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw them a little earlier than what most people do see them, but there are some good ones. But I don't think overall 2008 is a great year. It wasn't nearly as good as 2007.
Mm, okay. Now let's talk about supporting actress. Amy Adams for Doubt, Penelope Cruz, Vicky Cristina Barcelona. I saw that and liked it. Viola Davis for Doubt. Taraji Henson for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Marissa Tomei for The Wrestler. I haven't seen The Wrestler. I opted out of that because a friend of mine who is a movie makeup artist and who specializes in blood, she said she tried to watch The Wrestler and had to turn it off three or four times because it was too violent and too graphic for her.
Well, that says it.
Yeah, so I took that as a warning and I stayed away.
I haven't seen it either, although I love Marisa Tomei. She is an Oscar winner, too, from an earlier time. She may very well win it, but I'm thinking in terms of the films that I've seen of the list you just gave, that I think Penelope Cruz is the best in Vicky Cristina Barcelona. She is just absolutely amazing in that film. Viola Davis is good, but her role is very short.
Yeah.
Very brief, and I do not see Benjamin Britten. I'm sorry. Oops, that's music. I'm sorry, Benjamin Button.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one either, and the concept doesn't grab me that much, and it's a really long film too, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a very short story by F. Scott Fitzgerald, which runs about, if you read the short story, it lasts about 20 or 25 minutes in reading, but the film lasts 3 hours.
Ouch, yeah.
So that's one of the reasons I haven't been too excited about it personally.
Well, with my ignorance exposed here, I've really only seen one of these films. I love Penelope Cruz in Vicky Cristina Barcelona, and it's a delightful film. I hope people will go see it if they haven't already, and we'll find out who wins on Sunday night. Now let's talk about the guys.
Okay.
For actor in a leading role. And by the way, if you want to see these listings, just go to Oscar.com. They've got a great website set up with all the information. Leading actor, Richard Jenkins, The Visitor. Frank Langella for Frost Nixon. He played Nixon, of course. Sean Penn for Milk. Brad Pitt, Curious Case of Benjamin Button. And Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler. Now, I've only seen Milk and Frost Nixon. I think both of those lead actors did amazing work, and I would be satisfied with either one winning the trophy.
I agree. I think I'm leaning a little bit more toward Sean Penn. I really think that Penn, he can just do anything. And playing Harvey Milk was just right spot on, and I think Langella was great as Nixon as well, although it wasn't cartoonish, but obviously you couldn't tell. I mean, you could tell that it really wasn't Nixon, even though Langella is a great actor.
Yeah.
But Penn, I think, was really spot on. But I think, unfortunately, I'm feeling like Mickey Rourke is going to win.
That seems to be the buzz, yeah.
I'm feeling that Richard Jenkins is magnificent. He did it. He was in the series 6 Feet Under on HBO, a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a movie I've missed, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I think you made an interesting point there, comparing Sean Penn with Frank Langella, because, the Nixon movie, I cut my teeth in radio. Watergate was almost as helpful to me as it ultimately was for David Frost. But it was hard for me. It took me about 20 minutes to accept this character, which was close to Nixon, and he certainly got the vocalizations and some of the facial expressions right, but he didn't nail the character nearly the way that Sean Penn does Milk, and I guess the tiebreaker is that Sean Penn had to kiss a couple of guys and did it convincingly.
Well, what got me about Penn was that he had these very subtle little, really subtle body language that was sort of effeminate, but not real. It wasn't real broad.
Yeah.
And it really struck me as real.
Mm-hmm.
Although I had never actually seen Harvey Milk on live. I've seen the film of him, of course.
Right.
But
yeah.
I really thought that Penn is probably, if you'll excuse me, I think he's probably one of the best American film actors alive today. And he's following in some way in the steps of Marlon Brando. I really think Penn's an excellent actor, although he is a very controversial figure.
Yeah. Well, I think that when he puts his mind to it, that he really does identify with the character he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not the... I'm separating Milk from this next comment. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that he's been able to do is really get into the mind of the twisted F. somebody who, you know, has a real bad personality disorder and is very much out of step. Sean Penn knows how to deliver those characters in a very convincing and accurate way. And I do agree that he's one of the best character actors on the scene today.
And I think also that Sean was actually even better in Mystic River, and mm-hmm. he won the Oscar for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
And he was Harvey Milk, but he's still good in Milk as well. I really think he's a... excellent actor.
All right. We're going to take a break and return with Gary Chu. We'll talk about the actor, supporting actor, and best film. And if you'd like to chime in, you can be a movie critic, too. Call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Name your Oscar.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good evening, everyone. This is Sia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now in King City, on County Road G15 at County Road G16, there's a dog in the road, so watch out for him. And in Monterey County, we have a traffic hazard on County Road G16 at Brookdale Drive. Moving on up to Santa Cruz, on the southbound one, just south of Park Avenue, there's a large piece of metal pipe in the number 1 and 2 lanes, so use caution there. And on Clubhouse Drive at Dorsey Avenue, we've got a two-vehicle collision, and CHP is on the scene there. Moving over to the Hollister Gower area, we have a traffic hazard on the northbound 101, just south of the northbound 85. Also, on Union Road at Sienega Road, we've got a traffic collision. Well, that's your AM 540 traffic report. Have a fantastic evening, everyone, and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come meet me in person this Friday, February 20th, at Luminana Books and Gifts in Monterey at 7:30 p.m. I'll be there giving a talk and book signing on my new guide, Understanding the Energy of Your Child. Come and learn about the different energy systems of children so you can better understand your child. Again, I will be there Friday, 7:30 p.m. You could call 333-1110 for more information. See you there.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. A little preview of the Oscars underway here with our official film reviewer, Gary Chu. And you're welcome to chime in. I've got lines open if you want to talk about your favorite Oscar pick. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. But that's all that matters to me. How are you? And Gary Chu next. Let's talk about actor in a supporting role. The nominees are Josh Brolin for Milk, Robert Downey Jr., Tropic Thunder, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Doubt, Heath Ledger, The Dark Knight, Michael Shannon, Revolutionary Road. And the pundits in the newspapers have already awarded it to Heath Ledger.
I have, too. I think that Heath probably will win it, and I really didn't like the movie that well, but I certainly liked Heath Ledger's job in that film.
Mm-hmm.
The best Joker I've ever seen, even better than Jack Nicholson.
Well, I have to confess, I haven't seen it, and it was a conscious decision. I have run out of interest for these films that are based on old comics and, you know, in the Batman case, there was a television show I was fond of when I was 12, but I just don't really enjoy these films that are based on old cartoon characters, and particularly they've gotten darker and darker, and these are cartoons noir in many cases.
Right, exactly. And Ledger is very much a noir character in this film. He's really scary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Ledger will probably win, and I was reading an article today that they haven't decided on who will accept if Ledger wins, but they're going to put the Oscar in trust until his three-year-old daughter is 18.
Oh.
And then they will, she will have to, actually the Oscars try to keep from having a backup market for the Oscar. Like, you know, say if you win an Oscar, then you could conceivably, you could sell it for millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Anyone who wins one really can't. They can't sell it. They before they can sell it, they have to offer it back to the Academy for $1.
Oh.
So his little three-year-old girl will, I think Michelle Williams, I think that's the name of his girlfriend, the mother of the daughter,
mm-hmm.
I think she will hold it in trust until the daughter is 18.
All right. Now, in the same category here, Josh Brolin was incredible. You know, I was around San Francisco when Harvey Milk and Dan White mm-hmm. were in office. And I thought Brolin really delivered Dan White very effectively. He was a wooden guy. He was mm-hmm. a straight-o potato cop in you know, San Francisco when Sylvester was mm-hmm. basically the honorary mayor. And so I thought he delivered that character almost as effectively as Sean Penn did Harvey Milk.
I agree. I think that Brolin was very good in the film, and I thought he was perfect in terms of the way he looked like the assassin,
mm-hmm.
and but after seeing him in No Country for Old Men,
yeah,
he was just absolutely superb in that film, and he didn't get hardly anything mentioned about him in the film. And he was good as in W too, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But and he's good in Milk, but I think Ledger will probably win it because of his job and also the fact that it will be a posthumous award.
Yeah.
But I agree with you about Batman. The movie didn't turn me out at all.
Mm-hmm.
I did like Hoffman in Doubt. Hoffman never turns in a bad performance.
Yeah, he's a fine actor.
Just great.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see Revolutionary Road. I saw Tropical Thunder with Robert Downey Jr. I thought it was really kind of a quaint turn to have a white band play a black band, and he did a good job, but the movie was just awful.
Yeah.
I thought it was, at least.
Well, Revolutionary Road was an interesting period piece, an interesting character study of Kate Winslet and Leo DiCaprio. Very dark, very sad. But every time they reached for a martini and lit a cigarette, I said, yeah, that's what the 50s were like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got just a couple of minutes, so let's get to best film. And I'm trying to find it here in my Oscar lineup here. Best picture. There we go.
I got them.
Go ahead.
Scumdog
Millionaire.
Slumdog Millionaire will win, and it probably should win, although I have not seen it.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it, and it is a very interesting piece where they riff off the game show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and this young boy from the slums wins millions of rupees or whatever the Indian currency is. It's really well done. I don't think it's best picture. I really would lean on, it's a tough call between The Reader, Milk, and Frost Nixon. And I guess bottom line, The Reader was the one that surprised me the most, both in terms of character development and the storyline.
I am in total agreement with you. I liked all three of those films, The Reader, Milk, and Frost Nixon. And I think The Reader is actually a better film than Milk, although Penn's job in Milk is really great.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Frost Nixon was a pretty good movie, but I would between The Reader, Milk, and Frost Nixon, I would place Frost Nixon third from in that three.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of leaning toward The Reader for my own personal favorite.
Yeah. Well, Gary,
Slumdog.
Gary, thank you very much, and we'll be watching Sunday night and comparing notes. And I appreciate your Oscar preview here.
Take care.
All right, good to talk to you. That's Gary Chu, the official film reviewer of the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening today.
Happy trails to you.
Will you return here tomorrow?
Until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. $75 billion. President Obama says it's enough to stem the tide of mortgage foreclosures. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports.
The president went right to the heart of the economic crisis today with a plan intended to rescue as many as 9 million American families at risk of losing their homes.
All of us are paying a price for this home mortgage crisis. And all of us will pay an even steeper price if we allow this crisis to continue to deepen.
Speaking in Arizona, where the rate of foreclosures is the third highest in the nation, the president said the first part of his proposal will help 4 to 5 million homeowners who are underwater, meaning they owe more on their mortgages than their homes are worth.
Those people don't qualify for conventional refinancing, but Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac would offer special programs for them. Many analysts say the administration's on the right track with this plan, but not all.
It's not big enough. It's not bold enough. It's not going to solve the problem. It's not the silver bullet.
Mark Zandi at MoodysEconomy.com.
There are many homeowners out there that are 10, 20, 30, 40% underwater on their home. And just lowering the monthly mortgage payment, which is the point of the plan, isn't going to solve their problem.
Their problem would be solved by rising home prices, but it could take years to regain the equity they've lost. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, speaking in Washington today, said he'll do everything in his power to pull the country out of this recession.
If we can take strong and aggressive action, including the Fed's actions to try to improve credit markets, I think we can break the back of this thing and then we will begin to see improvements in 2009. If we fail to take adequate actions, the situation would continue to deteriorate.
The Fed's short-term outlook is bleak. A revised economic forecast says unemployment could reach 8.8% this year and says there is no prospect of growth in the economy. The Texas financier who allegedly swindled investors out of $8 billion is still missing. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the latest.
Federal authorities filed civil charges, not criminal, against billionaire Alan Stanford, who's from Texas, said to have homes on several Caribbean islands. A lawyer in Atlanta representing investors who fear they've lost their money, James Dunlap, says Stanford seems to be hiding.
We've got some ideas, but that's something that I would not like to discuss right now.
On the island of Antigua, where Stanford owns a bank and a newspaper, the Prime Minister...